This is Audible.
Sparks Fly. Written by Lucy Kevin. Narrated by Eva Kaminsky. Chapter 1. Wow, Angelina Morgan said aloud, as she got out of her car in front of the enormous mansion. That is one seriously huge house. She'd seen pictures of places like this in magazines, but had never actually been inside one. She'd set aside 2 hours for this feng shui consultation. She'd need 2 weeks. Feeling much as she imagined Maria must have felt in The Sound of Music when she saw the captain's house for the first time, I need to have confidence, she thought. Angelina took a deep breath and headed up the long front path. She rang the doorbell and waited. No answer. She rang it again. Finally, she heard footsteps approaching, and the door opened. Angelina was about to introduce herself, but the words died on her lips. The man standing before her was, in a word, perfect. Dirty blonde hair contrasted with blue eyes. Tanned skin highlighted bold cheekbones, a strong nose, and gorgeous lips.
Are you Angelina Morgan?
Stunned by her unprofessional thoughts about her client, she barely managed a yes. She hadn't had a sexual thought about a man in months, and was alarmed that her dead libido should perk up at such an inappropriate time. She was even more alarmed when her client said, "Will Scott," then shook her hand, causing a frisson of heat to surge through her. Quickly pulling her hand back, she fumbled for one of her business cards and said, "I'm so sorry about being a few minutes late. I've rarely been to this neighborhood, and I'm afraid I got a little lost. In any case, given that your house is larger than I anticipated, I want you to know that I'm happy to stay and work with you for as long as it takes."
"Actually, I've got some pressing work to take care of, so the quicker we can get this done, the better."
Angelina knew she should be accommodating. Not only was she late, but judging by the size of his mansion, he was probably counting every minute in her company as millions of dollars lost. Intending to start again with a clean slate, she conjured up her most genuine smile. "First of all, Mr. Scott,
call me Will."
Angelina gave a slight nod of her head in acquiescence. "Okay, Will, I'd like to find out how much you know about feng shui, particularly since this consultation was given to you as a gift from a friend."
"Not a friend, exactly."
He paused slightly.
"Susan is my ex-wife."
Angelina barely stopped herself from exclaiming, "Oh, really?" Clearing her throat, she said, "As I was saying, due to the fact that this feng shui consultation was given to you as a gift from your, ex-wife," she stopped to clear her throat again, "it's important for me to know how much I'll need to explain."
"Frankly, the only thing I'm worried about is the neighbors finding out I'm dabbling in magic and witchcraft."
Stepping past her, he looked out at the street.
"You don't have any signs on your car, do you?"
Silently reminding herself that she had always been able to convert staunch disbelievers into the ancient art's greatest proponents, she said, "Why don't we discuss the ideas behind feng shui for a few minutes before we jump into the consultation? That way you will understand why it has absolutely nothing to do with magic or witches."
"Just as long as we're done before my meeting."
Angelina felt a tension headache coming on. Did Susan make it clear that we need at least 2 hours for the consultation?
2 hours? I don't have 2 hours.
Will's cell phone rang, and he lifted it up to look at the screen.
"I need to take this call."
As he moved away from the door, a sudden breeze slammed it shut in her face, leaving Angelina standing alone on his front step. Utterly shocked by how things were going, for the first time in her life, Angelina actually wished she did know some witchcraft. If this man thought she was going to wait around for him to get his act together, he was sorely mistaken.
His ex-wife, Susan, must have been a very calm, forgiving person to have been married to him at all. Susan could have her money back. First thing Angelina was going to take care of when she got back to her office was getting rid of Mr. Scott as a client, once and for all. And good riddance. Chapter 2. Still more than a little irritated by the time she returned home, Angelina slammed her car door. She marched up to the front door of the cute house she was renting and jammed the key into the lock. Letting herself inside, she leaned against the back of the door and surveyed the clutter in her living room. She spent so much time helping other people deal with their messes that she rarely had time to deal with hers anymore. "I really need to clean my house up soon," she muttered, as she took in the stacks of magazines, books, and papers. Walking into her office, she sat down in front of her computer to check her emails. She found a message that had just come in from Rose at the Rose Chalet. Angelina had always wanted to work with Rose, and she quickly scanned the message. Rose had just offered her the option of using the chalet as a location for Angelina's upcoming cover story in Professional Woman magazine. The irony of her situation was not lost on Angelina. Her job was helping others find balance in all areas of their lives. But since her business had taken off, her personal life had been knocked completely out of balance by her professional success. Case in point, she couldn't remember the last time she'd been out on a date and actually enjoyed herself. It figured, somehow, that the first man she'd been attracted to in years was not only an off-limits client, but arrogant and disrespectful as well. No, she wouldn't dwell on her lackluster personal life. She had more important business to take care of, like getting ready for the feature in Professional Woman magazine. Flipping through her client book, she found Susan's number. She picked up the phone with firm purpose and dialed. "Susan, it's Angelina Morgan." Susan sounded thrilled to hear from her. "How is your consultation with Will?" Best just to be honest, Angelina thought. "I'm going to have to refund your money. I'm afraid he is not at all interested in having a feng shui consultation."
"How can you say that?"
Susan's tone was accusing. "He left me standing on his front porch to go take a phone call, and he didn't come back. Not to mention the fact that he was insufferably rude."
"Oh, I see," was Susan's quiet response.
"I would rather not work with people who need to be really sold on the idea of feng shui. It just doesn't do either the client or myself a whole lot of good. So really, I'm partially to blame. I didn't realize Mr. Scott was so resistant to the idea. I should never have accepted your money in the first place. I will arrange a full refund right away."
"But you've got to help him. Somebody has got to help him."
Angelina sighed. Why couldn't these things be easier?
"Susan, I don't think..."
"Let me explain about Will. He's my ex-husband, and now you probably understand some of the reasons why I divorced him. But he didn't used to be that way. I mean, he always enjoyed working, but when I first met him, he was fun, too. Unfortunately, as his company grew bigger, he hardly ever came home, and when he was around, he was glued to the phone or the computer." Suddenly, Angelina felt like a marriage counselor. But Susan was on a roll, and Angelina didn't have the heart to cut her off. "The last year of our marriage was awful. I hardly saw him, and I felt like I didn't even know who he was anymore."
Susan paused and added in dark tones,
"And he sure as hell had no idea who I was. So I filed for divorce and moved out. Then I read an article in the Chronicle about how you have a knack for fixing people's love lives."
A warning bell went off in Angelina's head.
"Susan, that article was a bunch of hyperbole. I don't actually fix my clients' love lives."
"Angelina, don't be so modest. The woman in the interview said she met with you and followed your advice? And then she met a wonderful man, and now they're engaged. Angelina wanted to interrupt Susan to inject some reason into the conversation, but Susan was too excited for her to get a word in edgewise. She said how one of her friends was going to get a divorce, but after you worked with her, she and her husband worked through their problems and stayed together. Don't you remember the story? They called you the Feng Shui Cupid. Angelina tried not to groan out loud. That article had been dogging her for weeks now. It seemed the entire lovelorn population of the Bay Area read the San Francisco Chronicle, because she'd received dozens of calls from people asking if they could meet with the Feng Shui Cupid. She hated that moniker. Her clients also got better jobs and felt healthier after working with her. But no one was calling her a Feng Shui recruiter or a Feng Shui doctor. Susan, I agree with you. Maybe Will could use some help, but I... Actually, Will could use a lot of help. Susan heard her weakness and jumped in for the kill. Please help him, Angelina. You're my last hope for reconciliation. Angelina was caught between self-preservation and guilt. She had to hand it to Susan. There was nothing quite like having a stranger make you completely responsible for the fate of their love life. Against her better judgment, Angelina said, "I can't make the changes for him. It all depends on what he wants." "So you'll try again?" Angelina was dismayed by how easily she had been roped into taking Will on as a client. Again. "I'll give it one more shot, but don't expect a miracle." Will sat in his home office, staring intently at the computer screen, typing furiously. He couldn't believe the new CFO had countered another one of his ideas. Will sent one final email and then leaned back in his chair to take a 30-second break. He was going to get on the phone with the guy and to chew him out for blatantly undermining his authority. He ran his hands through his hair and shook his head. Lately, running Personal Technology Inc. was one headache after another. Whether it was the shareholders, the board members, the employees, or the customers, the troubles seemed endless. Who knew, he found himself thinking, maybe this whole feng shui thing could really help. He had heard that Donald Trump used it, and look how well he was doing. Oh no, he had left the consultant standing on his front doorstep. Will rushed down the hallway to the front door, but she was long gone. When his ex-wife, Susan, had told him what she was giving him for his 33rd birthday, his first question had been, "Feng what?" And then he'd told her he had no intention of meeting a consultant of any kind at 2 p.m. today. Unfortunately, Susan could talk anyone, including him, into a corner. Against his better judgment, and not wanting to hurt her feelings, he had agreed to set aside 2 precious hours of his workday to spend it learning about some kind of mystical hocus-pocus. But that had been before the new executive staff at his company, PTI, had ambushed him with their radical plans, none of which, as CEO, he agreed with. After putting in several 18-hour workdays to keep things from blowing up in his face, he was utterly exhausted and in no mood for anything that wasn't marked urgent. Still, even though he thought Angelina's profession was ridiculous, he'd take science over fantasy any day, he owed her an apology. Not to mention the fact that Susan would probably send over one feng shui consultant after another until he let one of them in to look through his house. He grabbed his cell phone and punched in the number listed on her business card. He was surprisingly glad to hear the consultant pick up and say, "Angelina Morgan speaking."
"Angelina, it's Will Scott."
Even across the phone lines, he felt how much effort it cost her to sound polite and professional. She offered a cool, "Hello?" Susan always said he could charm the knickers off a nun.
He had a feeling he was going to have to call on all his powers of persuasion to get back into Angelina's good graces.
I want to say how sorry I am about abandoning you this afternoon.
Again, he heard the awful sound of silence across the line. Angelina was definitely angry with him.
I don't know what to say other than my work has been very busy, and it got me doing crazy things like leaving a beautiful woman standing all alone on my doorstep.
Too late, Will realized he had just admitted he thought she was beautiful. Even now, he could remember the way the sunlight had played off her dark brown hair, the way it had lit up her pretty hazel eyes, and the fact that her mouth had looked so soft, so kissable. In a very brisk and professional voice, she finally said, "Thank you for the apology. I appreciate it." Will released the breath he hadn't known he was holding. "Actually, I'm glad you called," she said.
"You are?"
"I just got off the phone with Susan. I have a policy of not working with people who aren't interested in my services. I tried to arrange a refund for the consultation." As disappointment moved through him, he realized he'd been lying to himself about his reasons for calling Angelina. Yes, Susan was like a dog with a bone, and it would be faster and simpler to acquiesce to her plans. Yes, he owed Angelina an apology for leaving her standing on his front step while he took a phone call. But the truth was, he wanted to see her again.
"I'm sorry that I gave you that impression, Angelina."
He thought he heard her sigh before saying, "Susan was adamant, however, about rescheduling our consultation."
"She was?"
He sounded like a complete moron. The man who could convince investors to give him millions armed with nothing but a speech and a PowerPoint presentation now appeared to have a vocabulary of about 12 words.
"Way to make up for a really bad first impression, pal."
"I agreed to try again, one more time." Angelina deliberately enunciated each word. "And this time, you'll need to guarantee me 2 uninterrupted hours of your time." Will's phone beeped in his ear. It was his CFO.
"Angelina, I need to get this call. Could I call you back?"
"No." Will had almost switched over to the incoming call when he realized what she'd said.
"No?"
"No," she repeated. "And I need your agreement to not answer the phone at any point during our next consultation." The call from the CFO went through to voicemail. It had been a long time since anyone had challenged Will in such a direct manner. But instead of being irritated, he felt a grudging respect for how she'd stood her ground.
"Could you come back tomorrow afternoon?"
"I'm booked solid until next Thursday morning."
"Great," he replied, without checking his schedule.
He'd simply rearrange that day to accommodate her. He did own the company, after all. Time to use some of the perks that came with the title. Angelina hung up the phone and stretched out her neck, rubbing it with her hands. Will Scott was giving her a serious headache. Unfortunately, he gave her something else, too. Something hot and steamy in a region of her body not used to much action. Immediately, her phone rang again. "Daddy!" Angelina's face lit up. "I'm so glad you called."
"I have some big news for you."
"You're not sick, are you?"
"No." Her father laughed off her concern. "I met someone. Her name is Louise."
Angelina relaxed back into her chair. "Oh, Daddy, that's wonderful."
"And we got engaged this morning."
She almost dropped the phone. "You what?" But as shocked as she was, she wanted to sound supportive. "I'm so happy for you."
"No one will ever replace your mother."
His voice trailed off. Wanting to voice what was in her heart, Angelina said, "Mom has been gone for 25 years. You deserve love and happiness. You always have." Striving for an excited tone, she said, "Tell me how it all happened." "Do you remember the last time you came home for a visit and I asked you for some advice?" "I did everything you said. I put 2 pink roses in the vase in the living room. I put up paintings of happy couples, and I got rid of everything from underneath my bed. The next day, I met Louise at the local garden show."
"Dad, that's great. I'm so happy for you."
"Yup, we're pretty excited, and we don't want a long engagement. I'm hoping you might be able to help us with wedding plans. Don't you know someone who does wedding stuff?"
"I'd love to help you and Louise. I'll call Rose over at the Rose Chalet, and we can set up a meeting."
As her father continued to talk about his new love and their engagement, for the first time, Angelina really did feel like the feng shui Cupid. A Cupid with an arrow for everyone but herself. After hanging up the phone, Angelina couldn't stop herself from thinking about the fact that she not only hadn't been on a date in over a year, but she sure as heck had never found anything even close to the true love her father had been describing. "Have I been spending too much time working on my clients' love lives and not enough on my own?" she asked herself. Blinking hard, she tried to think about whether she'd been hiding behind her hectic business. But painful memories came at her instead. His name was Bryce, and they'd met the summer she'd turned 21, when she was helping out with her father's house cleaning business in her hometown of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. She'd been sure she'd met the one, and freely gave him her heart and body. But in the end, she was just a plaything for a beautiful, rich boy. He thought sex with the cleaning staff was a perk that went hand in hand with having an inflated bank account. She'd learned a powerful lesson that summer. Rich people were fine to work with as clients, but she would never again make the mistake of trusting one with her heart. She rubbed her temples with her index fingers as she thought about the handful of men she'd dated in the past 5 years. They all worked hard and were attractive, but they had bored her senseless. And now she was fighting her attraction to a totally unsuitable man, a man who would no doubt stomp her heart to pieces were she foolish enough to give it to him. Chapter 3. The following Thursday, Angelina was halfway up the path to Will's front door when he came around the side yard and called out her name. He saw surprise flash across her pretty face a split second before she tripped on the edge of a brick that was sticking up a half inch too high. Will was able to catch her before she hit the ground, glad of the excuse to find out what it felt like to hold her. It felt good. Really good. Angelina pulled away to stand on her own 2 feet. "Thanks for catching me. I'm not usually this clumsy." Will had to fight the urge to pull her close to him again. Frankly, he was still more than a little perplexed by his attraction to a woman who was the polar opposite of his usual Barbie dolls. Angelina asked, "Are you ready to get started?" snapping Will out of his fog.
"Sure."
They went inside, and she said, "Why don't you take me through your house and tell me what you like and what you don't like about each room? Let's start with your foyer. How do you feel about it?" The first totally inappropriate thought that popped into his head was, "I love it when you're in it." But he settled for, "It's okay, I guess." Scanning the room, Angelina moved to stand in front of a painting. "Does this make you happy?" The truth was, Will couldn't have cared less if the painting made him happy. But when he really looked at it, he saw for the first time that the artist had used acrylic on canvas to depict a sad man who stood in the middle of a wet, deserted street. The painting sucked.
"I don't like it."
"Why don't you like it?"
It's depressing, and besides, even I could do a better job than...
Realizing he was saying too much, Will cut himself off. Angelina pinned him with a questioning look, inwardly cursing himself for divulging any information at all about his personal life. Will said,
"Seems like anyone could do a better job than this artist did."
Feng Shui is all about living with what you love. When we get rid of the things that bring us down and replace them with things that make us happy, we open ourselves up for good things to happen in our lives. Grinning, she added, "Don't be surprised if taking this painting down gets you the woman of your dreams."
"If that's the case," Will said as he reached for the painting, "let's get this pathetic loser off my walls ASAP."
Angelina could barely keep from laughing as she helped Will lift the heavy frame. Men were so predictable. Will surveyed the new look of his foyer.
"It looks better already."
Angelina was pleased that she could finally grace him with a genuine smile, and right then and there, she decided she was going to maintain a nice, agreeable banter with him throughout the rest of the consultation, no matter what. Getting back to business, Angelina did a quick scan of the kitchen family room. "You've got an awful lot of the fire element in here."
"The fire element?"
"There are 5 elements in feng shui: fire, water, metal, earth, and wood. The fire element is in your red rug, your fireplace, and your electronics."
"And that's bad?"
"Well, not bad exactly, just not balanced."
"Maybe I should just take all of this to the dump and start over."
Angelina was surprised by her own chuckle. She'd barely replied with, "Not unless you hate everything in here," when she made the mistake of looking into his incredible blue eyes. Her mouth went completely dry. Again. Oh, God. What was she doing? She knew better than to look at a wealthy, good-looking man like Will Scott with stars in her eyes. She was a 26-year-old woman who had never gotten over her broken heart or her deep sense of shame from being so easily used. And Will definitely had heartbreak written all over him. Will was enjoying watching the play of emotions run across Angelina's expressive face when she abruptly turned away from him and began to study his living room with renewed zeal. She pointed to a watercolor hanging in a dimly lit corner. "Well, this is an incredible oceanscape. It would be the perfect water element to hang over your fireplace." Will was tempted to tell her he had painted it in college. What would it be like, he wondered, to have Angelina's eyes light up with admiration? But he squashed the thought as quickly as it had come. He was CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and if anyone found out he had been serious about his hobby at one time, he'd become a laughingstock. She reached into her briefcase and pulled out a sheet of paper. "This should help with explaining some of the hows and whys of what I do. It's called a feng shui map." Will scanned the page.
"For some reason, these charts remind me of computer programming."
It also reminded him of what it was like to balance out all of the colors on a canvas. Disturbed that he was thinking about painting again for the first time in years, he pushed his fruitless thoughts back into the recesses of his mind, where they belonged. "Are you a programmer?" Will was stunned.
"You don't know what I do for a living?"
"We didn't exactly have time for you to tell me the first time we met, did we?" More than a little surprised that she didn't know who he was, he said,
"Again, I apologize for that."
Giving him a small smile that made his heart beat a little faster, she said, "So you don't program computers?" Feeling relieved, thinking that maybe for once he wouldn't have to be on guard against another woman who only wanted to be with him for the notoriety of dating one of America's richest, most eligible bachelors, he leaned back against the kitchen counter, perfectly happy to let her think he was just an average rich guy.
"When I was first out of college, I used to program, but I haven't done any serious coding in years."
He looked pensive and admitted,
Lately, I've been missing the old days.
Why?
I used to solve puzzles and create things. Now I spend all day dealing with problems.
His inner voice taunted him.
Hey, buddy, it's pretty hard to be wealthy enough to buy a small island, isn't it? Boo-hoo for you.
He didn't know why he was telling Angelina any of this. Usually, he was either focused on expansion and profits, or occasionally hanging out with his business school buddies, talking sports. Even with his ex-wife, he had maintained an emotional distance. Giving Angelina a sheepish look, he said,
I don't mean to be standing here complaining. Not when I have... He gestured to his home. All this.
Feng Shui is about finding a place where your heart can be happy and at peace. You can do that in a big home like this one, or in a small apartment.
Looking charmingly self-conscious, she added,
I have a tendency to get on a soapbox from time to time.
No worries. I don't see any suds on the floor.
Angelina gave Will a crooked half-smile that knocked his socks off.
How about you show me your home office next?
As Angelina followed Will out of the living room, she tried to reconcile his admission about missing computer programming with her initial picture of him as a spoiled rich boy.
Get a grip, Angelina, she repeated over and over in her head, training her eyes on the oak flooring instead of the walking, talking temptation before her.
Caught up in controlling her raging hormones, Angelina plowed into him, hugging him like a spoon, her front to his back, her arms wrapped around his rippling six-pack as she tried to steady herself. And then he turned around in her arms, and his mouth was mere inches from hers. She was about to meet him halfway when her inner voice cried, Stop throwing yourself at your client.
Just go away, she told it.
But then her critical inner voice turned things up another notch.
Don't forget, his ex-wife wants him back.
It was a supreme effort to pull away. Trying to put some distance between them, Angelina stumbled into the stair rail in the foyer. No longer seared by the heat of Will's body, she quickly cooled down. Will looked just as stunned as she felt. On one level, she wished she could leap back into his arms, but she knew that was professionally impossible, not to mention inappropriate. There was only one way for both of them to proceed. They both needed to behave as if the almost kiss had never happened.
My office is right around the corner,
Will said, in a slightly husky voice, before disappearing into a room down the hall. His telephone had been ringing constantly since her arrival, but, true to his word, he had ignored it. Until now. When she walked into his office, she was so shocked by the utter chaos of the room that she temporarily forgot about her no-phone-calls rule. It was one of the messiest rooms she had ever seen. She quickly figured out that, according to Feng Shui, Will's just-been-hit-by-a-cyclone office sat smack dab in the reputation area of his house. Odds were he was having trouble getting respect from customers and staff alike. The snippets of conversation that she overheard as she carefully picked her way through the piles of papers and boxes confirmed her suspicions. Will spoke authoritatively into the phone.
I'm only going to say this one more time. We are going forward with our plans. I don't care what Albert is telling the board about competitive repercussions.
Hanging up, he turned to face Angelina.
Welcome to my home office, he said grimly.
In her line of business, there were times to be gentle and times for tough love. This was tough love all the way. She gestured to the papers and boxes scattered throughout the large room.
It must be hard to work well surrounded by so much clutter.
He slumped into a leather chair.
Even my executive assistant refused to help clean it up.
I don't blame her, Angelina said, surprised to see the powerful executive suddenly look so lost and forlorn. Let's talk about clutter.
Will grimaced. Haven't we already gone over that? My office is a dump.
Angelina leaned in closer, as if she was about to divulge an important secret. Will found that he was leaning toward her in anticipation. In feng shui, there is no place to hide. You can't clear one area of your life by stuffing everything into another area.
You're losing me.
Pretend you took all of this stuff and moved it into your garage.
Why didn't I think of that?
Angelina gave Will a mock frown. All that does is move the congestion to your garage. It blocks the flow of your energy in your life, no matter where it is.
But I need everything in here.
Angelina nodded. Maybe, but then maybe not. Tell me, when was the last time you went through every single book and paper and file and asked yourself, do I really need this?
You can't be serious.
Angelina stared at him, unblinking. I am. When was the last time?
Never. Who has the time for that?
Actually, it can be kind of fun. Will laughed out loud at that. Angelina protested. I'm serious. But a smile was stealing across her face. Well, maybe fun is overstating it. But there can be amazing benefits to putting the work in.
Name one.
Easy. Once you get rid of everything you don't need or love, you will have finally made room for all of the good things you do want. He looked around the room contemplatively. Now that she had pointed it out, he couldn't escape the heavy sense of chaos that pervaded his office.
What you're saying is actually making sense.
Angelina grinned. I'm so glad to hear you say that. She tried to move one of his boxes with her foot, but it was so heavy it hardly budged.
What have you got in here? Your rock collection? Open it up.
Cautiously, Angelina peeled back the top of the box and grabbed a heavy rectangular slab of green metal, chock full of silver wires.
What's this? It's a test interface board. I used to design them.
He walked over and picked one up.
I haven't seen one up close in a long time.
Years fell away as Will reverently ran his fingers over the board. At 21, he had dutifully plunged into engineering, giving up his far-fetched dream of being a painter. Designing circuitry was never as powerful a satisfaction as creating art, but at least he made good money.
I can't believe you even know what one of these things does, let alone designed it.
I do have one question for you, though.
Ask away.
Will hoped that he could impress her again.
Do you really need so many of them?
Angelina peered into the box. There are probably 20 in here. So much for impressing her with his profound knowledge of circuitry. In any case, before I go, she said, looking at her watch and realizing that their 2-hour appointment had flown by, I should tell you that your cluttered office sits smack dab in your reputation area. It's probably affecting your relationships with your staff and customers.
How the heck do you know about the problems I've been having with my company? Did Susan tell you?
Angelina looked surprised by his outburst.
No, we didn't speak about your work at all. Are you psychic or something?
Trust me, I'm not the least bit psychic. He could see her scanning the room for a semi-clear pathway so she could escape. So how about you tackle your office and give me a call in about a month, and I'll come back to see how things are going.
A month?
He couldn't go a whole month without seeing her.
I don't think a month will work.
I could give you 2 if that would be easier to fit into your schedule. Angelina pulled her organizer out of her briefcase to make a note of the appointment.
What I'm trying to say is that I'd like to take you out. On a date.
A date? She looked horrified.
Yes, Angelina, a date.
No, thank you. The words were barely out of her mouth before she fled the room, ran down the hall and out his front door, and drove away. Chapter 4. So we almost kissed in his foyer. Big deal. Angelina's friend Krista plopped her full coffee cup back into the saucer. Big deal. You show up at this guy's house to do a consultation and he almost starts making out with you. That's definitely a big deal. Krista raised an eyebrow and gave Angelina a knowing look. You wish he had, though, don't you? Angelina shook her head, saying no even as yes galloped across her brain. Liar. Angelina sipped her mint tea, affectionately watching Krista over the rim of her cup. They had been best friends for 10 years, two totally different women who complemented each other perfectly. Besides, it doesn't matter because I'm not going out with him. Krista clanked her cup down again. Go out with him? Are you saying he asked you out? I swear, you always leave the good stuff out of your stories. She frowned. So, why aren't you going out with him? He's cute, right? Cute didn't even begin to cover it, Angelina thought, as she said, Yes, but he's my client. I don't date clients. Krista waved her hand in the air, as if that reason were completely irrelevant. What exactly did you say when he asked you out? Angelina grimaced at the memory. I said no, thank you. And then she'd run. Krista rolled her eyes. I can't believe it. A hot guy, who I assume probably has a good job and a nice house, asks you out, and you act like he just offered you a refill. Angelina defended herself. It seemed like the right thing to do at the time. Plus, she'd been freaking out. Big time. I'm not gonna let you off the hook this time. You need someone to tell it to you like it is, whether you want to hear it or not. First rule of romance, when a gorgeous, eligible guy asks you out, the answer is yes, not no thank you. Angelina opened her mouth to protest. No buts, Krista said firmly. Still, she softened her tone as she reached out to take Angelina's hand. I'm just telling you this because you're my best friend in the whole world, and I want you to be happy. I know that. It's just... She wished she could read her fortune in the tea leaves in the bottom of her cup. I know change is good, but remember what a fool I made of myself when I was 21? Of course I remember. I was mopping up your tears for months. But it's been years since that jerk used you. If you ask me, you've completely forgotten how to have fun, Ange. I'm too busy to have fun. Exactly my point, honey. Look at me. I work 60 hours a week on billion-dollar cases, but I know how to have fun. Angelina retorted, Sleeping around indiscriminately isn't my idea of fun. Look, one night of sex is no big deal. And it'll even fit into your schedule, Krista added with a grin. Your hunky client sounds like the perfect guy to break you out of your rut. No way. Okay, then, how about at least kissing him? Angelina felt herself flush at the thought of kissing Will. I don't. Krista cut her off. Give me one good reason why not. Angelina lowered her voice. First of all, his ex-wife hired me to get him back. Oh, Krista murmured, obviously titillated by this new bit of information. Second, as I said before, I don't mix business with pleasure. You never know. It could be fun. And third, CEOs are not my type. Krista held her hands up in defeat. Fine. You and your never-ending logic have defeated me. Just think about it, Ange. You need to have some fun before you forget how. Speaking of fun, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon? There's a shoe sale at Nordstrom that can't be missed. Glad for the change of subject, Angelina reached into her briefcase for her organizer to check her calendar. She knew she should start using the calendar on her cell phone, but she liked her old-fashioned pen-and-paper system. Oh, no. I left my day timer at Will's house. Looks like you're going to have to go back to his house to get it, huh? Krista folded her hands under her chin and fluttered her lashes. Or wait for him to bring it to you, she added with a naughty undertone. Will couldn't concentrate. He'd finally come back outside to look at his oversized and underused resort-type back garden. But no matter what he was doing, his mind kept going back to his greatest failure to date. Never before had a woman turned and run from him. In all his previous experience with the opposite sex, he'd hardly had to expend any effort at all to get women to go out with him. The women he usually dated didn't look much further than his bank account. But Angelina clearly couldn't have cared less how many diamonds or houses he could buy her.
Maybe if I clean up the mess in my office, she'll come knocking on my door.
It was a ridiculous thought, but it kept playing like a broken record in his head. So he gave up and called his assistant and asked her to reschedule his meetings for the rest of the day. He headed for the side door of his house before remembering that Angelina had told him to use the front door for better energy, or something like that. He groaned. One visit from a feng shui consultant and he needed to see a good therapist. Nonetheless, he walked around to his front door. Once inside, he headed down the hall to his office. Picking his way into the middle of the room, he reached into the box directly in front of him and got down to business. Amazingly, as he threw away clutter that had been piling up for years, the voices clogging his brain shut up for the first time all day. Hoping to get this over and done with as quickly as possible, Angelina marched up to Will's front door and rang the bell. When Will opened the door, he let out a low whistle.
I can't believe feng shui works this fast.
Not having a clue what he was talking about, Angelina got straight to the point. I left my organizer in your office. I just need to grab it and then I'll get out of your hair. Will looked taken aback by her slightly frosty tone. She felt a little bad, but she had her heart to protect.
I'm glad you're here, Angelina. I've got something to show you.
Following Will to his office, hating how much he liked to hear her name on his lips, she stopped dead in her tracks in the doorway.
Wow.
The room was spotless, and the changed energy was impossible to ignore.
You like?
Will asked, grinning from ear to ear.
What an amazing transformation. How did you do it all so fast?
He shrugged.
I couldn't concentrate on anything else with the mess in this room hanging over me. The shredder got one heck of a workout today. It's odd, but I almost feel as if I can breathe better in here now.
Angelina leaned against the doorway. That's exactly how I explain feng shui to people who have never heard about it. If you follow the principles, you will feel like you can breathe better everywhere in your entire house. Will rubbed his chin with his left hand.
I really get that now.
Angelina gave him a soft smile.
I'm glad.
Knowing she had to break the spell Will had over her, and fast, Angelina picked up her organizer and said,
I should really get going now. Why don't you join me for a cup of coffee in the kitchen?
Angelina shook her head. Sorry, I don't do caffeine. It makes me weird. Will raised an eyebrow, and she laughed. Okay, so it makes me weirder. Anyway, thanks, but no.
How about decaf?
For some crazy reason, Angelina couldn't resist the look in his eyes. Just one cup. Wagging her finger at him, she warned, and don't you try anything funny like mixing caffeine in. I won't be responsible for the consequences. He held his right hand over his heart and said with mock solemnity,
you have my word. No funny business.
Angelina pulled up one of the stools to his kitchen island while Will reached in the cupboard next to the sink for the coffee beans. She had always had a thing for tall, well-built men, which seemed particularly unfortunate right now, considering Will was off limits in every way. From the moment Angelina walked through his front door, Will had been struck not just by her beauty, but by her spirit and intelligence as well. The truth was, he had never felt this way about Susan. Marrying her had been, quite simply, the right thing to do. Get an MBA, start a successful company, marry a good-looking blonde.
Angelina, he said, do you feng shui boats?
She looked surprised by his request, but she nodded.
I'd like you to take a look at my boat in San Francisco this Saturday.
I already have plans with my friend on Saturday.
Bring her with you,
Will insisted, his palms sweating as if he was a 13-year-old boy asking out the most popular girl in class.
We'll cruise out to Angel Island and then maybe drop the kayaks in and row around. While we're at it, we'll get some feng shui done.
He held his breath until, finally, she said, yes. Chapter 5 Saturday morning, Angelina woke up early and did her usual 4-mile walk, hoping to work off some of her nervous energy. She never should have agreed to this consultation on Will's boat. But Krista's words, you need to have some fun before you forget how, had been playing in her head like a broken record. After her shower, she stood in her closet, wondering what the heck she should wear. Nothing seemed appropriate. Frustrated, as the clock ticked closer to 9 a.m., she put on her favorite jeans and a white scoop-neck t-shirt. Figuring it might be cold or windy out on the bay, she also pulled out a red sweatshirt and a jacket. Topping off the whole outfit with red tennis shoes, she looked in the mirror and declared herself ready to sail. She was midway through plaiting her hair into a French braid when her doorbell rang. Quickly finishing the braid and slipping a covered rubber band around the end, she yelled, "Coming!" When she opened the door, she had to steady herself. Will looked more gorgeous than ever in his khaki shorts, Giants t-shirt, and baseball cap.
"Good morning," she said, as she locked the door behind her. "Don't drool all over him," she chided herself.
But when she saw his car, she blurted out, "Mustang convertibles are my favorite car."
"You'd be surprised how many women complain that it's not a BMW or a Jaguar."
"What kind of women have you been driving around?" she said, cocking her head slightly to one side.
"The wrong ones, I guess."
She directed him to Krista's condo, which was a couple of blocks away. They knocked on the door and heard her friend call out, "It's open. Come in, and I'll be ready in just a second." As far as Angelina was concerned, Krista's place rode a very fine line between feng shui greatness and disaster. Her decorating style consisted of sharp lines and ultra-modern furniture in varying shades of cream and gray. Angelina had often told Krista that if she ever felt ready to settle down with the man of her dreams, she should soften the sharpness inside her house. But since Krista didn't seem interested in limiting herself to only one man, Angelina let it be. Krista flounced out through the doorway and made a Madonna-esque pose for them.
"Am I gorgeous or what?"
She pirouetted in a slow circle in white capri pants and a white crop top, an orange scarf tied flamboyantly in her wild mass of curly red hair.
"As always," Angelina agreed.
Before she could introduce them, Krista enveloped Will in a hug. All in one breath, she said,
"Hi, Will. I feel like I know you already. You're just gorgeous. I can't wait to see your boat. Isn't Angelina absolutely scrumptious?"
Will just laughed in response.
"It's a pleasure to meet you too, Krista."
Stepping back out of her embrace, he looked at his watch.
"We better get going, or my friends may just sail off without us. Either that, or they'll drink all of the beer on board," he added with a wink.
They flew up Highway 101, past the suburbs dotted along the bay, chatting about nothing in particular, relaxing into the freedom of a Saturday off, top down, blue skies, and the ocean waiting to be explored. Will took the 4th Street exit and pulled into the pier next to the baseball stadium. He parked in his reserved spot and directed each of the women to grab a light cooler from the trunk. Unlocking the gate, he led them down Dock C to his boat, which was easy to locate because his friends were waving at them from the bow, drinks already in hand. Oh, my God. Only a tycoon could own a boat like that. Krista looked more closely at Will, and a flicker of recognition caught in her eyes. Wait a second. You're the guy who... Will cut her off. All aboard, he said, as he tried to gauge Angelina's reaction to his boat. The last thing he needed was for Angelina to find out just how famous he was. He was truly enjoying the way she treated him just like anyone else. Maybe he had done the wrong thing by inviting her on his boat. She was bound to ask some questions about his net worth, just like her friend was doing right now. Adding to his problems, Krista was saying, "Damn, Will, the only time I've ever seen a boat this big was when I used to watch reruns of The Love Boat on TV as a kid. Is this really yours?" Angelina elbowed Krista and changed the subject. "I'd love to meet your friends." Will breathed a sigh of relief. Was it possible that Angelina really didn't care about his wealth at all? His inner voice mocked him instantly, saying, "Yeah, right. You think you've found a woman who doesn't want a piece of your fame and fortune. If you believe that, I've got a used car I'd like to sell you." Will shook the voice out of his head. Leaving Krista to gape in amazement at the opulent surroundings, he placed Angelina's arm in his and walked with her down the length of the boat. Angelina leaned close and whispered, "Sorry about that. Krista can be a little exuberant sometimes." Will shrugged and then introduced her to his friends. When Krista finally joined them, he had to make the introductions all over again, which gave Angelina a moment to settle back into her surroundings. Frankly, she was floored by the size of Will's boat. It was moored at the longest spot on the dock, equivalent in size to 2 of the bigger slips. Angelina wondered if he had actually earned it all, or if it had been handed to him on a silver platter. Not that it mattered all that much, she reminded herself. He was just a client. She looked up from her musings just in time to witness sparks flying between Krista and Derek, one of Will's friends, who was dressed very conservatively in khaki dockers and a white button-down short-sleeved shirt with a pencil in the front pocket. How interesting, Angelina thought to herself. Krista usually had more chemistry with guys like James, Will's other friend on board, who was flashier, a quintessential playboy. When Krista perched next to James, Angelina thought disappointment flared in Derek's eyes. For once, she hoped that the underdog would get the girl. She didn't know why, but she had a feeling that this gentle man might be the missing link in her friend's life. Was Will her missing link? The thought shocked her deeply, and she sank down numbly into the deck chair behind her. He couldn't be the one. Her one special man would not be the type to own a 50-foot yacht. She had always pictured herself with someone undemanding and serene, a man with far less presence than Will. Plus, how could she forget that his ex-wife had hired her to help get him back? For the 100th time, Angelina rued the day she'd agreed to take on this consultation. "Right, Ange?" Krista said, and Angelina blinked in confusion. Fortunately, before she had to fess up to daydreaming, Krista said, "Oh, look, we're moving." Will was getting ready to motor out of the marina, so Angelina jumped up out of her seat and tracked him down in the wheelhouse. "Do you need any help?" "Help me pull up the rubber fenders and we'll be off." Angelina scampered onto the dock to unhook the long white bumpers. Handing all 10 up to Will, she mounted the steps back onto the open deck.
Keep an eye on the harbor traffic while I maneuver out, would you?
Aye, aye, Captain, she said as she saluted him. They made their way out of the marina with no problems, and then Will cranked up the speed, jetting them under the bay bridge and out toward Angel Island. The water worked its magic. The delicious sensation of wind whipping past, the sun warming her skin, made Angelina relax and simply enjoy the day. Will, who was steering from the flybridge up top, called down for her to join him. She carefully walked up the short metal ladder and came to stand beside him at the wheel. Keeping a watchful eye on the boat traffic surrounding them, he asked,
"Are you having a good time?"
"Oh, yes. This is so much fun."
Nonetheless, she knew she should keep her manner as professional as possible.
"When we drop anchor, why don't we do some feng shui?"
Will shook his head.
"No way. It's a beautiful day. Let's have a little off-the-clock fun first."
"What the heck? A little fun wouldn't kill her." Grinning impishly at Will, she said, "All right, you win." Pulling her hair out of the French braid, she let it blow in the breeze. She was intent on letting herself go with the flow for once. Sailing past Fisherman's Wharf, going under the Bay Bridge, and looking out towards the Golden Gate. It's amazing. Have you always loved being out on the water? Slipping on his sunglasses to fight the glare from the water, he replied,
"I guess so. I grew up spending every summer in the Adirondack Mountains of New York with my grandparents. There weren't many fancy things in that small cottage, but we had sailboats."
"Did your parents come out to the lake, too?"
"My mom did, when she could."
He paused.
"My dad skipped out on us when I was 5. I haven't seen him since."
Will knew he'd already said too much, but he felt so comfortable talking with Angelina that the words kept coming.
"The thing is, it wasn't so bad that he left me, but my mom was on her way to becoming a truly amazing painter. After he left, she had to work 2 jobs to keep us flush, and by the time she got home, she was usually too tired to paint. I used to set out her easels for her, hoping she would paint for even a few minutes, but she never did. By the time I was about to graduate from college, and I saw just how tired she had become from all her years of hard work, I vowed that one day I would make so much money she could paint all day, every day. I wanted to give her everything."
"I'll bet you did just that, didn't you?"
"I wanted to build her a mansion and fill it with clothes and jewelry. But the only thing she wanted was the summer house my grandparents rented all those years ago. I'll never be able to make up for what she had to sacrifice for me."
"Sounds to me like she has everything she needs. It sounds like she's happy."
"Maybe so. But he would never be able to do enough to make up for the way his deadbeat dad had treated her."
Everyone clambered up onto the flybridge to join them, and Will hoped Angelina would forget his foolish babbling. Rounding the corner into a calm bay off Angel Island, he announced,
"Let's drop anchor and head ashore."
A cheer went up from the crowd. Turning off the engine, Will grabbed the 2 guys to help him lift and dump the huge anchor off the bow, leaving Angelina and Krista alone up top on the flybridge. Krista wasted no time. "Can you believe this yacht?" Without waiting for an answer, she said, "And his gorgeous friend, James? Oh my God, I could lounge around on this boat forever. Your boyfriend is the most delicious, wealthy catch in the entire world. In fact, he's on this month's..." Angelina glared at her friend.
"Shh!
What? It's not like his big bucks or a huge secret or anything." Angelina rolled her eyes and thought, not for the first time, how amazing it was that her best friend could be so incredibly intelligent about some things, but so clueless about others. "First of all, he's not my boyfriend. And second, every time you bring up how rich he is, you really embarrass him." When Krista opened her mouth to protest, Angelina smacked her on the arm. "What if every person who met you commented on your big breasts?" Krista grinned wickedly. They usually do. Angelina was more than a little exasperated by this point. You know what I mean. And by the way, I think you should know you've got it all wrong. You're making your moves on the wrong guy. Krista looked confused. What? You don't think James and I are perfect for each other? Our kids would be absolutely adorable, you know. Try your look how shallow I am act on someone else. I'm not saying he wouldn't be fine for a night. Or two. Or three. Fine. Give the guy a whole week. That's not the point. All I'm saying is that I think you should consider Derek. He's not my type. He could be. Before her friend could reply, Will called up to them from the deck below. Anyone up for a ride to the beach in the dinghy or in a kayak? Krista hopped up with a defiant look stamped across her features. Leaning over the rail just enough to give everyone below a clear view of her ample cleavage, she said, James, what were you planning on doing?
The double kayak, he replied in a bored tone.
That sounds perfect, she said, pretending not to hear Angelina's snort of disapproval, as she climbed back down to the lower deck and disappeared to help untie the kayak. Angelina followed her down the ladder and joined Will and Derek by the dinghy. Derek offered, Why don't the two of you take the dinghy to the island? I'll just hang out on the boat and get some sun. I've got a better idea, replied Angelina. Let's all three of us hike the Island Loop Trail. Within a few minutes, they had rowed the small boat to shore and were on the trail, laughing and talking. Derek was a great companion, just as Angelina had suspected. He was funny, smart, and athletic. It was too bad Krista was going to miss out on a great guy, just because she was too stubborn to open her eyes. And if the thought crept into her mind that she herself was being a tad stubborn about a certain client of hers, she steadfastly ignored it. As Angelina led the way on the trail, Will couldn't help but notice, yet again, what a beautiful figure she had. He checked to make sure that his friend Derek wasn't also admiring it. Not that he would blame him if he was, but frankly, he was feeling increasingly proprietary about Angelina. Krista is focused on getting attention. Trust me, if you don't give her any, she'll be begging for it. Will tuned back into the conversation Angelina and his friend were having.
What are you two talking about?
She turned toward Will with a devilish gleam in her eyes. We're working out a plan so that Derek can make Krista crazy for him. Derek looked momentarily uncomfortable before he shrugged and said, Seems like a good idea to me. Will laughed.
Okay, let's hear the rest of the plan. First you ignore her until she's...
How did you put it, Angelina?
Begging for it.
Angelina chuckled. Exactly. Now don't get me wrong, I love Krista dearly. But this time she has definitely gotten in the kayak with the wrong man. They looked pretty perfect together to me, muttered Derek. Angelina patted his arm. Appearances can be deceiving. Trust me, they're all wrong for each other. So, like I was saying, all you need to do is make it clear that you're not interested in her. Derek stopped dead in his tracks, and Will slammed into him, which almost knocked the three of them over like dominoes. But I am interested. Look, if you just want to sleep with her once and never see her again, then do things your way. Angelina started hitting the trail with renewed vigor. But my bets are on her falling madly in love with you if you take my advice. From that point forward, it will be up to you to keep her on her toes.
How's he supposed to do that?
Will asked. Easy. Make her play by your rules at first, and then only give in to her in little ways. Women like Krista, who get everything they want all the time, can only fall in love with a man who is difficult to conquer. Derek was nodding his head with new understanding. How do you know so much about this? Angelina looked wistful. Human nature 101. We all want what we can't have. When they returned to the beach where they'd left the dinghy, Angelina was surprised to see Krista waiting for them. Evidently, she'd been waiting for them for some time, because she practically threw herself at them.
"What are you doing here?" Angelina asked.
"I thought you'd still be out in the kayak with James." Krista snorted. "Not a chance. He got an important call right after you guys left on your hike." She nodded back toward James, who was sitting on the side of the kayak, cell phone pressed up to his ear. "I've been here all by myself the whole time." Angelina felt no sympathy for her friend. She simply gave her a look that said, "Maybe you should consider my advice next time." Derek, Angelina noted, was playing his new role to the hilt, seemingly more interested in the rocks on the beach than anything Krista had to say. In fact, after getting only monosyllabic grunts from Derek for several minutes, Krista started to pout. Will was pulling the dinghy back out toward the water when a soccer ball knocked against his legs, and two little boys came running up to get it.
"I'll kick it back to you," he said,
and quickly got roped into an impromptu soccer match on the beach with a whole horde of little boys. A few minutes later, slightly out of breath, Will rejoined them.
"Sorry about that," he said with a grin. "Soccer's always been a weakness."
Angelina grinned back, amazed by this new side of him.
"You're great with kids."
Abruptly, Will turned back to the dinghy and pushed it.
"Not really."
Angelina was confused by his behavior.
"Those kids loved playing with you."
But it was clear that the conversation was over, along with the afternoon outing. They all got back in the kayak and dinghy and headed to the yacht. Will started the engine and headed straight back for the marina.
"Looks like the wind is picking up, and I don't want a rough ride on the way back."
Angelina looked at the sailboats on either side of them as they motored through the water. The sails were barely fluttering, and the water looked remarkably like glass.
"He must really want to get this consultation over and done with," she thought to herself.
But, she decided, she wasn't going to let her feelings be hurt. Instead, she was going to milk every last ounce of enjoyment out of floating across the water and sitting under blue skies. She was completely fine maintaining a purely professional relationship with Will, no matter what her heart said to the contrary. Angelina attempted to get involved in a conversation with someone else on board, but between the five of them, they were hopeless. Krista was alternately pouting and then trying to get Derek's attention. Derek was working so hard at ignoring Krista's advances that he wasn't much of a conversationalist, and James's phone kept ringing with hot stock tips. By the time Will maneuvered his yacht back into the marina, Angelina was hugely relieved the outing was over. She was going to do a quick feng shui consultation, and then she and Krista would get the heck out of here. But Will seemed to have other plans.
"Derek, would you mind taking Krista home?"
Panic crept up Angelina's spine at the thought of being alone on the boat with Will. "Krista doesn't mind waiting for me to finish the consultation, do you?" But Krista looked thrilled by the turn of events.
"I'd love to go home with you, Derek," she said, her invitation clear to everyone on the boat.
Angelina tried to catch Krista's eye to let her know she was needed as a backup, but her friend had already kissed Will on the cheek and said,
"Thank you for a great day and for introducing me to Derek."
Derek and Krista left, with James not far behind. James shook hands with Will before he headed down the dock, cell phone still pressed to his ear.
"I'm really glad you came today."
All of the earlier awkwardness disappeared as Will closed the distance between them, and every cell in her body went on high alert. He was going to kiss her. And she was going to let him. In the end, she wasn't sure who made the first move. All she knew was that his mouth was on hers, and hers was on his. And it was the best kiss of her life. She didn't know how long they stood on his boat, kissing.
She was barely aware of anything other than how good he was making her feel, until suddenly she felt him pulling back. Finally, she realized his cell phone was ringing. It was an odd-sounding ringtone and hard to miss. Muttering a soft curse, he said, "I need to take this."
"Sure, of course. Go ahead."
"Angelina, please. Just wait a second. I'll hang up as soon as I can." But she could see that his focus was already on his important phone call. She waited for a few minutes for him, but then she realized he'd forgotten all about her. Oh, God. She was such an idiot. She was just the hired help, conveniently there for whatever he wanted, just like she'd been with Bryce. She grabbed her bag, already calling a cab, as she jumped off his boat and hurried up the dock. Will cut his call short with his corporate lawyer and walked out to the stern to find Angelina and pick up where they'd left off. But she was gone. He'd blown it again. Susan had always been on him about his knee-jerk tendency to put business first, but he'd ignored her because business always had come first. Now, his ex-wife's words were coming back to haunt him. Chapter 6.
"So you were kissing, and then when his phone rang, he forgot all about you?"
Angelina squeezed her eyes shut and considered hanging up on Krista. She had spent the entire night trying to forget the kiss with Will. Trying to forget about being forgotten.
"Don't make such a big deal out of it. I'm already over it," she lied.
Good riddance. He probably wasn't any good. Rich guys never are. Irrationally, Angelina felt compelled to jump to Will's defense. His kisses were amazing.
"Look," Krista said stubbornly, "all I'm saying is, once I saw that boat, I knew something was up."
"You did?"
"Oh, yeah," replied Krista. "I'd definitely be suspicious of someone as rich as he is. Besides, it doesn't matter who he is, 'cause he has lousy taste in friends. The good-looking one never turned off his phone, and the other one," Krista said, as though referring to something she had stepped on, "seemed to think he was too good for me. The loser doesn't know what he's missing."
"I'll say," muttered Angelina under her breath.
"Anyway, I've decided to take pity on the nerd and go out with him next month."
"He asked you out?" Krista humped on her end of the phone and fessed up.
"I sort of talked him into taking me to his company dinner. But we were talking about Will, weren't we?"
"Could we just forget about Will, Chris?"
Krista snorted. "Too bad he has to be so cute with such a big yacht. But you know what? There's nothing that a little shopping can't fix. I'll be right over."
Krista hung up the phone before Angelina could refuse the invitation, which was just as well, she thought sourly. Suddenly, she had an urge to buy something blue. Will had planned on calling Angelina all day Sunday. It wasn't that he was a wuss, he reasoned. It was simply that he never went into any kind of negotiation without a surefire plan of action, a backup plan, and a last-ditch plan. And he knew he was going to need the plan of all plans to make things right with Angelina. The problem was, he couldn't seem to think straight when it came to Angelina. He kept getting sidetracked, thinking about her soft skin and her silky, shiny hair. And how luscious her mouth was. He grabbed a beer, turned on the football game, and tried to settle into his usual Sunday routine. But 30 minutes later, he had absolutely no idea who was winning the game. He couldn't take his mind off Angelina. The doorbell rang. Will jumped up and spilled beer all over the carpet on his way to the door. His ex-wife, Susan, opened her arms to him.
"Surprise!"
She hugged him and stepped past him into the house.
I was just visiting a friend who lives nearby. I'm dying to see the changes you've made since Angelina came by to work with you." She surveyed the living room and the kitchen expectantly, and then turned to him with her hands on her hips. "You haven't changed anything. Did you scare her off again?" The irony of the moment was not lost on Will.
"Yes. No. I don't know. Do you want a beer?"
Susan made a face.
"Sorry. Forgot you hate beer. I'll get you a glass of wine."
He stepped into the kitchen and uncorked a bottle of Merlot. Handing Susan the glass of wine, he said,
"I did make one big change."
He led her down the hall to his office, opened the door, and moved out of the way so that she could step inside the room. "How did she get you to do this?" She turned to him with an amazed look on her flawless face. "I could never get you to clean up your office. I was even afraid to go into it most of the time." He shrugged. She put her hand on his arm. "You have to tell me what she said." He moved out of touching range and stuffed his hands into his pockets.
"Something about stagnant energy."
Susan threw her head back and laughed. Will knew he should have kept the changes to himself and headed back into the kitchen. He had a spilled beer to clean up. "I never thought I'd live to hear you talking about energy."
"Forget it, will you?"
He knelt on the carpet with a wad of paper towels to sop up the spilled beer. Susan was clearly on a roll, though, he noted, with increasing dismay. Sitting on the edge of his coffee table, in what he assumed was supposed to be a sexy way, she asked, "Have you worked on your love corner yet?" Will kept mopping up the carpet and tried to pretend this wasn't happening. He said,
"No." Then got up to throw away the paper towels.
Susan stood up. "You really should, you know, because she's famous for being the feng shui cupid."
"The feng shui what?"
"The feng shui cupid. She can get anyone to fall in love." Will tried to mask his horror.
"She can make anyone fall in love?"
He forcefully took control of his thoughts, telling himself that the idea of a feng shui cupid was just as ridiculous as the idea that rearranging his home could change his life. Then again, hadn't he felt better after cleaning up his office? Deftly changing the subject, his ex said, "Let's go get something to eat at that cute French bistro on the corner." Will couldn't think of anything he'd less like to do. But he'd always hated to hurt Susan's feelings. Resigned to his fate, he agreed.
"Sure."
He liked Susan. She had always been a good friend. But why had he married her? Had he really been so obsessed with finding the perfect corporate wife accessory? The only thing he knew for sure was that he much preferred long dark hair, olive skin, and hazel eyes over anything else. After an exhausting trek through every store in the mall, Krista insisted on taking Angelina to dinner before dropping her off at home. Having learned early on that it was usually easier to give in to Krista than to fight her, Angelina agreed. The bistro Krista picked was a little too close to Will's house for Angelina's peace of mind. But odds were a million to one that she would run into Will there. Besides, she couldn't go through the rest of her life trying to avoid him. Their server had just delivered their wine when a breathtaking blonde walked through the door. Angelina tried not to stare, but the woman was so remarkable, perfectly dressed, coiffed, made up, even her shoes were perfect, that Angelina felt a senseless urge to pull out her sunglasses and put them on, even though the sun was long gone. Krista turned to see what had caught Angelina's attention. "Now, there's a piece of work. Think any of that's real?" But before Angelina could reply, she saw Will walk into the restaurant right behind the goddess. At least, she noted grimly, he
He had the grace to look chagrined when he saw her. Her prayer that he would ignore her so she could sneak out was not granted, as he headed over to her table. Angelina whispered to Krista in a shaky voice, "My worst nightmare has just come true." Krista called out to a nearby waiter, "My friend and I need another couple glasses of wine here. Pronto. Unless you're thinking of switching to something a little more potent, Ange." "Heck yeah, I'm ready for something a whole lot more potent. Like this gorgeous man standing in front of me," she thought hysterically. And then she remembered who he was with. Ms. I'm Too Perfect to Be Real. And the fact that he had clearly found her completely forgettable. Angelina tried to convince herself that it didn't hurt, but it did. There was no way she could ever compete with a woman like that. In lieu of any better ideas, she fortified herself with a big gulp of white wine. Unfortunately, when she looked up, not only was Will standing there, but the perfect woman had joined him. Will cleared his throat and made the introductions.
"Angelina, Krista, this is my ex-wife, Susan."
Angelina's heart sank even further as she looked at the woman who had hired her. This perfect vision was the woman who hoped Angelina's feng shui cupid powers would win back the affections of her ex-husband? Couldn't she have just flicked her glossy hair over her shoulder and given him a come-hither glance to get the job done? Worse still, Angelina was hit between the eyes with a sick dose of guilt for betraying the woman who had hired her in good faith by kissing her ex-husband. She wanted nothing more than to run out of the restaurant. At this point, fleeing the country seemed like a good idea.
"You're the feng shui consultant, aren't you?"
Angelina mustered up all of her "I am a seasoned professional" reserves. She stood up to shake Susan's hand.
"It's nice to meet you."
The stunning woman caught her totally unawares by giving her a hug.
"It is so incredibly fabulous to meet you in person. I just cannot believe what you've done with Will's office. Believe me, I tried for years to get him to clean it up, but nothing worked. You're a miracle worker. May we join you for dinner?"
Angelina noted Susan didn't wait for an answer as she gracefully lowered herself into a nearby chair. Susan seemed totally oblivious to any tension as she made herself comfortable. She ordered a salad and a glass of wine from the hovering waiter, who practically fainted when she spoke to him. Angelina desperately searched her brain, trying to find a way out of this awful dinner. She sent a potent look across the table to Krista, silently imploring her to help think of an excuse to bolt. But Krista was sitting back, enjoying the show. And some show it was. As Susan talked on and on about meeting the feng shui cupid in person, and all of the miraculous things she had done for her clients, Angelina could only wish that she'd taken more time with her appearance that morning. Jeans and a t-shirt really weren't cutting it, but the sad truth was that she could do a full makeover, top to bottom, and she still wouldn't be anywhere near being able to play in Susan's league. If Susan was a Victoria's Secret model, Angelina was one of the Fruit of the Loom gang.
"Now, where was I?" Susan said much later. "Oh, yes. Will and I were having such a good time at his house tonight when he invited me to have dinner with him."
Will barely managed to keep from spewing his wine all over the table when he heard that flagrant misrepresentation of the few minutes they had spent in his house. Susan immediately exclaimed,
"Oh, honey, are you all right?"
"Honey, I'm fine."
Susan explained, "It's so hard to remember we're not married anymore. Sometimes a honey or two just slips out, doesn't it?"
She gave Will a positively adoring look. Will couldn't believe his luck. Here he was in a bistro he didn't want to be in, having a dinner he didn't want to eat, with a woman he didn't want to be with, staring into the eyes of the woman he did want to be with, but who clearly didn't want to be with him. Not to mention the fact that being around Angelina had the oddest effect on him, causing his usually razor-sharp mind to turn to mush. He just couldn't stop staring at her. Krista kicked him under the table. "Try not to be so obvious." Oh yeah, he had almost forgotten. His ex had some crazy notion that they were going to get back together. How the heck was he going to make it clear that he wasn't the slightest bit interested in her anymore? Most men, okay, pretty much every man alive, would have jumped at the chance to be with Susan. She was good-looking and sweet. But she didn't have even an ounce of what the woman beside her had. A magical, sensual allure. If his brain kept this up, he would have to resign from his company and turn to writing sappy love songs. He was glad for Krista's advice, though, and made haste to act accordingly. There was no point in letting Susan know she had competition. Snapping out of his reverie, he noticed his ex had scooted even closer to Angelina and was sketching something on a napkin. She beamed at him across the small table, looking like a kid in a candy store. "Angelina is giving me a few tips right now. I'm drawing my floor plan for her. Isn't it exciting?" Will grunted noncommittally. "Tell me again," said his ex-wife, "where the love area of my house is and what I need to do. I can't wait to get home and try this out." If Susan got any perkier or nicer, Angelina was going to be sick. Of course, she supposed if she looked like Susan and had the world lining up to kiss her feet, she'd probably be annoyingly cheerful, too. Circling the love and marriage corner of Susan's floor plan, Angelina gave the woman a few tips on displaying things in pairs, using red and pink, and hanging romantic art. A few minutes later, when the waiter delivered their food, she forced down a couple of bites so that no one would see how out of sorts she was. Too bad her $20 salad suddenly tasted as if it was made entirely of bitter lettuce leaves. Finally, Susan patted her perfect lips with her napkin. "If you will all excuse me, I'm going to go powder my nose." After she left, Krista leaned into Angelina and said, "I thought people only said that kind of stuff in the movies." Angelina fought back the frantic giggle that was bubbling up in her throat. "Krista," Will said, "would you mind leaving Angelina and me alone for a minute?" Her friend sat back in her chair and crossed her arms over her chest. "Whatever you have to say to Angelina, you can say in front of me." Angelina turned to Krista with a smile, appreciating her show of solidarity. But the truth was, she wanted to get the whole thing over and done with Will as quickly as possible. "It's okay, Chris. Would you mind getting the car from valet parking? I'll be out in just a sec." Krista reluctantly stood up. "I'm right outside," she said, pointing her finger at Will. "So don't try any funny stuff or I'll sick your ex-wife on you." "What do you want now?" Angelina wasn't wasting any time on pleasantries. Although she was nervous and guilty, she was also angry, which helped steel her nerves.
"Did Susan ever tell you why she hired you to work with me?"
So, he must have finally figured out that Susan wanted to reconcile, Angelina thought, with perverse satisfaction. She wanted to see him squirm, but she could never divulge her private conversation with Susan. Trying to act detached and professional, she replied, "She is obviously concerned about you." She could tell Will had more questions about Susan's motivations, but instead he switched tactics, reaching across the table for her hand.
"I want to apologize about what happened last night on the boat, about taking that call, and I need to explain about why I'm here with Susan."
Angelina's mouth turned into what might have resembled a smile before she stopped herself. "That kiss was a mistake. A really big mistake. It won't happen again.
and you don't need to explain anything about you and Susan. I hope you'll be very happy together." And with that, she swept out of the restaurant in as grand an exit as she could pull off, desperately hoping that Krista already had the car running, ready for a quick getaway. "I thought the torture would never end," Angelina said as she slid into Krista's car. "No kidding. That woman couldn't get enough of you. She was practically sitting in your lap. Your lover boy looked like he was going to punch her." "He's not my lover boy." "So," Krista said in a knowing voice, "now you're bitter because she wants him back."
"I am not," Angelina protested, much too loudly.
"You are so falling for him."
Angelina glared at her best friend.
"I am not."
Krista rolled her eyes. "Whatever. Anyway, now that I've given it some thought and have seen you two together again, I've decided it's a good thing."
Angelina snorted. "Name one way it could possibly be good."
"How about four? One, he is so hot for you, I was practically getting singed at the restaurant."
"Stop making things up."
"Shush, I'm not done yet."
"Two, he's filthy, stinking rich."
"Excuse me? Hello, am I done with my list yet?"
"Let's see, where was I?
Three, according to you, his kisses light you up like the 4th of July.
Are you ready for number four?"
"I don't think so."
"Too bad, because number four is the incontestable fact that the two of you are perfect for each other."
Angelina shook her head, refusing to believe it would ever work out between her and Will.
"Try this instead," she said to Krista. "How about number one, his ex is perfect, number two, she's gorgeous, and number three, she's nice?"
"None of that matters," Krista replied confidently.
"How can you say that? You saw her."
Krista pulled up in front of Angelina's house.
"He doesn't look at her the way he looks at you."
Angelina was afraid to hear anything else Krista had to say, so she got out of the car.
"Sparks, baby, they're flying."
Krista started to pull away and then hit the brakes, yelling out the window.
"By the way, I'd go pick up the latest copy of People if I were you."
Angelina stood on the curb and watched Krista's car round the corner, wondering about her friend's cryptic comment about the magazine. What could People magazine possibly have to do with the hole she had dug for herself? She went inside her house, ignoring the mess in her living room again, and went through the motions of getting ready for the bed. She hoped that once she crawled under the covers, she would be able to dim the sight of Will and his vision of loveliness X wrapped in each other's arms. Chapter 7. Angelina had been tossing and turning for several hours. Her bed felt more like a torture rack with every passing minute.
"I wouldn't be surprised if I have bruises all over," she muttered unhappily, as she kicked off the sheets and sat up, sliding her feet onto the floor.
Unable to rein herself in, she sat down at her computer. Krista's comment about People magazine had put her brain on overdrive. Feeling as if she were prying into a file marked private, she typed Will Scott into Google. A few seconds later, her screen was filled with listings for every kind of information imaginable: interviews, investor reports, gossip columns, and picture galleries. Angelina's head whirled. "He's this famous?" She scrolled through endless links about Will and the multi-billion dollar company he owned. She let out a long breath. Suddenly, she saw what a complete idiot she must have looked like to him, asking if he programmed computers for a living. She was angry at herself, and even angrier at Will for not letting her in on his little secret. Of course, she had to admit that if she kept up a little more with the news and current magazines, she would have recognized him immediately. Against her better judgment, she clicked on the top link for a recent interview. I met Will Scott, CEO of PTI, on a weekend after his morning run. As he walked up to me, hand outstretched, his muscles glistening in sweat, I found myself faltering as an objective journalist. I promise you this, one look in those blue eyes and the hardest soul would have been utterly lost, too. Angelina snorted and looked for something more substantial. Finding a link for another interview, she read, "Rarely in my 20 years as a financial writer have I met a CEO more charming than Will Scott, which begs the question, what is he hiding?" Angelina nearly laughed out loud at the preposterous statement. Still unable to control her wayward curiosity, she clicked on a link titled Will Scott, Fan Page and Photo Gallery. Staring her in the face was page after page of pictures of Will, with women who all looked the same. Big breasts, long legs, blonde hair, beautiful faces. All of her old feelings of inadequacy bubbled to the surface. Suddenly, she was 21 again, and had just been told, "Did you actually think I'd be serious with a girl like you?" Feeling hollow inside, she got up without turning off the computer, walked like a zombie back to her bedroom, crawled under the covers, and fell into a fitful sleep. Images of Will surrounded by a harem of supermodels danced through her head until daylight. Will woke up early, went for a jog, then came home and reached into the refrigerator for some OJ. The digital clock on his microwave read 8 a.m., and he decided it was late enough to call Angelina. He picked up his phone, but before he could press the talk button, it rang. He checked the caller ID, hoping it was Angelina. But instead, he was surprised to read his mother's phone number on the small display. "Mom?"
"Hi, honey. Did I call too early?"
"No, of course not. What's wrong?"
"First, promise me you won't get upset."
"Mom." Will didn't like the sound of this one bit.
"Well, I was doing a little painting."
"At your easel?"
Joyce sighed. "No, I thought the window trim out front needed a touch-up."
Will tried not to panic. He had a tendency to be overprotective when it came to his mother. But he couldn't help it. She was all the family he had.
"The ladder slipped, and I had a teeny little fall."
"Where are you? On the ground? Is anything broken?"
"Honey, stop freaking out. Mary from next door heard the fall and drove me to the hospital. It's just a small fracture in my hip, so..."
"I'll be there this afternoon. I'll call you back as soon as I've made the travel arrangements."
Will immediately arranged for his pilot to be at the airport in 30 minutes. He would call Angelina once his mother's situation was under control. For the next several hours, he was on the phone, either talking with the best doctors in the country about flying them out to the small hospital in New York, or dealing with urgent issues at PTI. By the time he got to the hospital, he was exhausted and frustrated. His mother was propped up in bed sketching when he walked in. She looked up from her drawing and held her arms out, overjoyed to see him.
"Come give me a hug."
Joyce held him tight for a moment. "Well, if you aren't just as gorgeous as ever." Peering at him more closely, she added, "Definitely tired, though. Anything you want to talk about?" He groaned. He had forgotten about her eagle eye. Hoping to distract her, he said,
"I'm here to talk about you. I've called several specialists from New York City, and..."
She held up a hand to halt him. "I know you want the best care for me, honey, and I appreciate it. But I'm just fine here with the local doctors."
Will opened his mouth to protest.
"I won't hear any more about it. The doctors have been wonderful, and I've seen the x-rays. All I've got is a slight hip fracture."
"But, Mom..." My favorite son just flew all the way out here to see me, and I don't want to argue with him.
I'm your only son.
Joyce grinned merrily.
That's right, isn't it? So then, let's talk about you.
He pulled up the nearest chair and plopped down into it, knowing he wasn't prepared to deal with Sergeant Mom in his current state of mind. Somewhat sarcastically, he said,
Would it help if I just gave you my diary?
I didn't know you kept a diary.
I don't.
His mother's peals of laughter, which could be heard down the hall, brought in the troops. Half an hour later, Will was sure he had met every doctor, nurse, and secretary who worked in the hospital. He was worn out from all the handshaking and small talk, but it was a heck of a lot better than the maternal inquisition. When the meet and greet had ended, Joyce said,
What do you bet every mother within 50 miles with an unmarried daughter is getting on the phone right about now?
Seeing his look of alarm, she said,
Sorry, honey. Word travels fast when an available, good-looking, successful man comes to town.
Taking pity on her son, certain that the troubled look on his handsome face had something to do with a woman, and that there would be plenty of time to get to the bottom of everything tomorrow, she said,
Why don't you head out to the cabin before the wannabe blushing brides show up? The guest room is all made up for you.
Glancing out the window, she said, I'd hurry to the house if I were you. I think I see the young ladies arriving already. Will grabbed his car keys and gave her one last peck on the cheek.
I'll be back first thing in the morning.
He raced out to his rental car, pretending he didn't hear any of the women calling after him. Angelina barely made it to the end of what had been an awful day. She'd had one problem after another, and everything was made worse because she could not stop thinking about her encounter with Will in the restaurant last night. Frankly, she was surprised by her own behavior. She had never been a bitter or jealous person. She was the one who had done Susan wrong, not the other way around. But now, the dam on her feelings for Will seemed to have broken, and she couldn't figure out how to rebuild it. Hoping to clear her heart and soul by working up a sweat in her garden, she stripped off her professional clothes, pulled on her comfortable faded gardening duds, grabbed her clogs and gloves from the closet, and headed out to the backyard.
Weeds. Perfect.
She bent down and started yanking them out. With wild abandon, she weeded like never before. Just as she was laying into another patch of dandelions, she heard the phone ring and ran inside, kicking off her clogs. She tried to convince herself she was anxious to get the call because it might be an important client, but she knew she was hoping it was Will on the line.
Angelina?
Hearing Susan's perky voice on the other end, Angelina stifled a groan and pulled off her gardening gloves.
Susan, it's so nice to hear from you, she lied. I wanted to call to thank you for working so closely with Will.
Angelina gulped in a mouthful of air and choked. She had never dreamed that her life could turn into such a ridiculous soap opera.
His office looks better than I've ever seen it before. But that's not really why I'm calling. I hired you because of your reputation as the Feng Shui Cupid. I wanted you to reunite me with Will, as you well know. But I want to let you know that I've changed my mind.
You've changed your mind? Angelina echoed.
Why? I finally accepted the fact that I am not the woman of Will's dreams, and he isn't the man of my dreams either.
Angelina's mouth had fallen open, and she was completely speechless.
She began.
But thankfully, Susan was on one of her rolls.
And Angelina, it's okay. For the first time, I have a feeling that Will is going to be really happy, even if it's not with me. In fact, Susan added, I'd like to have you come over to my house for a consultation. It's time for me to finally get on with my own life.
Moments later, As Angelina hung up with a new consultation penciled into her calendar, all of her preconceived ideas about Susan had flown out the window. Susan certainly wasn't the fly-by-night, ditzy blonde that she looked to be. Hidden beneath her surface perfection was a deeply intuitive heart. All of this made Angelina wonder. If she'd been wrong about Susan, could she be wrong about Will, too? Chapter 8 Will relaxed the minute he entered his mother's house. Nearly every room in the small cabin looked out onto the lake, and there were memories of laughter and happiness all around him. After locking the front door to keep out any single women on the prowl, he picked up the phone and dialed Angelina's number, but he got her voicemail again. Not comfortable with the idea of pouring his feelings out to her voicemail, Will vowed to call her again in the morning to set things straight. He just hoped she wouldn't hang up when she heard his voice. He was used to getting what he wanted regardless of the obstacles in his way. But for some reason, dealing with Angelina was proving to be the most difficult test of his life. None of his current worries, however, stopped him from having a romantic dream about her that night. He woke up at 5 a.m., images of her beauty, her smile, still vivid in his head. He went into the kitchen, plugged in his computer, and got online, hoping work would ease the ache he felt inside. It didn't. Will was back at the hospital at 8 a.m. sharp. His mom was already sitting up in bed and drawing in her sketchbook. "Good morning, honey. Didn't get much sleep last night, did you? Want to talk about it?" At Will's stunned look, she said with a twinkle of mischief in her eyes, "I have all-seeing mother abilities." Will rolled his eyes, although what she said was true. "Besides," she added, "I've got nothing better to do until the doctor agrees to let me go home today. So you may as well eat some of this god-awful food on my tray and tell me everything." Will laughed. He sometimes forgot how different his mother was from every other mother in the world. Spending time with her was more like hanging out with one of the guys. Well, sort of, anyway, if one of the guys was his mom. He bit into the muffin she handed him and had to go spit it out in the bathroom sink. "I think they baked cement into it." "There's gum in my purse." Not missing a beat, she asked pointedly, "So, who is she?" Will looked up from digging in her bag for the gum. "You have woman trouble written all over you." Joyce folded her hands on her lap. "Why don't you start at the beginning?" By the time Will made it to the end of his story, Joyce was worn out from holding in her laughter. One day, he would be able to see the humor in the situation. But right now, he was too overwhelmed by what sounded to her like love at first sight. Will's cell phone rang, and as he spent a few minutes dealing with a corporate issue, Joyce developed a plan. Later that day, happily settled back at home with her paints and canvas, she sent Will off to the grocery store and put her plan into action. She picked up the phone and dialed information. "I'd like the number for an Angelina Morgan in San Francisco, please." 5 minutes later, Joyce called the airline and charged one first-class plane ticket to her infrequently used credit card. She was happy that some of the money Will insisted on depositing into her savings account each month was finally being put to good use. Angelina still wasn't exactly sure what had happened. One minute, she was being clear-headed and firm with Will's mother, explaining how it was impossible for her to rearrange her schedule to fly to New York for a consultation. Angelina told her she'd be happy to give her the number of an excellent consultant in New York. She was also very clear about the fact that $5,000 was far too much money to pay for her services. But the next thing she knew, She was in her bedroom, packing an overnight bag, and an airport limo was parked in her driveway. On the drive to the airport, she wondered what the real story was behind the out-of-the-blue phone call. She didn't believe for one minute that Will's mother desperately needed her expertise. But since it would be several more hours before she could get any real answers, she tried to relax and enjoy the new experience of flying first class. It really was very nice, she admitted, as she chose Breakfast at Tiffany's to watch on the personal DVD player the flight attendant gave her. She couldn't help but enjoy the gourmet meal they offered a little while later. Kicking out the footrest, she accepted the glass of champagne the stewardess offered her at the end of the movie and closed her eyes. Later tonight would be soon enough to unravel everything connected with this last-minute trip. Right now, she was going to concentrate on savoring this small taste of the good life. Joyce looked up at the clock. 9 p.m.
Honey, I'm going to turn in now.
Will looked up from his laptop.
Do you need help with anything?
She wheeled over to him in her on-loan wheelchair. Just give me a kiss on the cheek and I'll roll away. Will chuckled.
You're pretty good with that thing. Where'd you learn to maneuver it so well?
His mother winked at him. I'd tell you, but then I'd have to run over your toes. She paused, her smile softening. It really is nice to have you home for a few days.
Next time, you don't have to throw yourself off a ladder to get me here.
Joyce was laughing as she wheeled off out of the living room, leaving Will alone with his thoughts. All day he'd been calling Angelina, but every time her voicemail picked up. Whenever he had a problem, he'd always been able to find a good solution. But he was floored by his continuing ineptitude in dealing with Angelina. He wished he could find a way to make things right with her. Just then, a knock sounded at the door. He prayed that it wasn't another young woman sent over by her parents to meet him. He opened the door slowly, expecting the worst. He couldn't believe his eyes.
Angelina?
Will? What's going on? Angelina looked even better in real life than she had in his dreams. Her clothes were slightly rumpled. But Rumpled looked amazing on her.
I've just flown all the way across the country, and all you can do is stand there gaping at me?
Will wasn't sure what possessed him just then. He knew he should have better control over his baser urges, but he just didn't.
You're right. I should have done this instead.
He reached for the woman he hadn't been able to stop thinking about, and kissed her. Angelina was so surprised by Will's kiss that she kissed him back. It should be illegal for anyone to kiss as well as he did, she thought. Will deepened the kiss, and Angelina whimpered in response. But when Will made a low sound of pleasure deep in his throat, Angelina immediately crashed back into the real world. She broke off the kiss and stumbled away from him. Hating the fact that he was too darn potent for her to be able to think rationally. Stop trying to confuse me. Tell me what's going on right now, she insisted, congratulating herself on her fairly poised delivery, considering that she felt as put together as an unmade puzzle.
I don't know. I have no idea why you're here. All I know is that I've been calling you every hour for 2 straight days. You have no idea how frustrating it is when all I get is your voicemail. But now you're here, standing right in front of me.
Angelina was stunned by his soliloquy. You've been trying to contact me for 2 days?
Maybe I should have left a message, but I wanted to explain things in person.
He wanted to explain things. It was too close to what Bryce had said to her at the end of that fateful summer. Will had just kissed her as if he was dying of thirst and she was a glass of water. But when was she going to learn that passionate kisses didn't mean anything to men like them? Trying for mature, hoping for calm, Angelina managed, "It's okay. You don't need to explain anything to me."
"I don't."
She pasted a cheerful smile on her face.
"I understand perfectly."
"You do?"
"Of course."
"But..."
Angelina cut him off before he could say anything more. Needing to take control of the situation, she faked a yawn.
"I guess your mom didn't tell you that she asked me to come and meet with her. It's late, and if I'm going to have a good consultation with your mother tomorrow morning, I'd better get some rest."
"My mother called you?"
Angelina stared at him in disbelief. Chapter 9. Judging by the look on Angelina's face, he knew she wouldn't believe him if he told her the truth. Frankly, he was having a hard time believing what his mother had done. She was worse than any of the other scheming mothers he'd encountered during the past 24 hours. But was it wrong to be so pleased by her meddling?
"I hate to tell you this, but there's only one spare bedroom."
A look of utter disbelief and exhaustion settled over Angelina's face. Will cleared his throat and jammed his hands in the pockets of his jeans. He wanted to reach out for Angelina, to comfort her, but something told him his touch wouldn't be welcome, not when she was so clearly upset with both him and his mother.
"I'm going to grab my stuff right now and clear out so you can have it."
He groaned inwardly, knowing that there was no way he was going to be able to get any sleep on the couch in the living room, with Angelina just a wall away. As it was, he was fighting the urge to pull her back into his arms. How could it be that in weeks he had gone from being perfectly sane and in charge of his life to losing control over everything? Right now, his only chance at temporary sanity was to dunk himself in the cold lake. It took Will only 5 minutes to pack up his things, but Angelina swore it took an hour. He must know the effect he had on her. She was absolutely certain he was deliberately torturing her. When he finally said, "Good night," without turning to face her, then shut the door behind him, Angelina fell onto the bed, gasping for air. She had been holding her breath while Will was in the bedroom with her. Within seconds, a bone-deep exhaustion hit her, and she couldn't even muster up the energy to brush her teeth or take off her clothes. She woke up at midnight, momentarily disoriented, before she remembered where she was. In New York, at Will's mother's house. His scent was all over the sheets and the pillowcase. It was self-torture lying there, breathing him in, having no choice but to relive the sweetness of his kisses. She sat up in bed and brushed the hair away from her face. Maybe a walk in the brisk night air would help to clear her mind. Stripping off her horribly wrinkled clothes, she rummaged around in her luggage for a pair of jeans. She slipped them on, along with a hooded sweatshirt. A door from her room led out to the lake. She stepped out onto the deck, and the moonlit view took her breath away. She would never grow tired of the vision of still water at night, with the moon's reflection upon it. For a moment, she felt a deep sense of peace. Angelina stepped onto the sand, which was cool and damp beneath her toes, ready to feel the water lapping against her legs. But when she heard a splash, she stopped dead in her tracks. She moved quickly to hide behind a large tree trunk. What was Will doing swimming in the middle of the night? Afraid to even breathe for fear he might discover her spying, she remained standing behind the tree, gaping as he rose up out of the lake. Even though she could see that he was wearing swim trunks, he was still so physically beautiful that just looking at him took her breath away. When she inadvertently gasped, she clamped a hand over her mouth, praying he hadn't heard her. No such luck. Will stopped his progression out of the water.
Is someone out there?
Angelina forced herself not to act like a coward. Stepping around the tree trunk, she said, I just came outside for some air. I'll go back in now so you can finish your swim in privacy. He called out,
Come in the water. It feels great.
She had no idea her heart could race so fast. She was so tempted, more tempted than she should have been. No, I can't do that.
There's nothing like a midnight swim beneath a full moon, he told her in a gentle voice that resonated all the way through her.
The picture he painted was tempting, incredibly tempting. She could see the scene play out in her head. She'd join him in the water, and then they'd end up kissing again, or more. And then she'd hate herself in the morning. Still, she had to force herself to say, Good night, Will, and turn back toward the cabin. Back in the bedroom, Angelina stared at the four walls until she began to notice all of the cute touches in the cabin she hadn't seen earlier that night. The walls and the ceiling were done in a beautiful pickled pine. The room was bright and clean, yet warm and relaxed at the same time. Will's mother had a natural gift for balance and comfort. And above the bed hung one of the most beautiful paintings Angelina had ever seen. A man and a woman were entwined on the sand. Love radiated from them. It was exactly the kind of love she longed for, and feared she'd never find. Chapter 10 The next morning, Will was up and staring blankly at his laptop when his mother came rolling into the kitchen, looking worlds better than she had the previous day. Joyce whirled around in her wheelchair and poured herself a cup of coffee. Angelina get here all right?
She certainly did.
Will looked accusingly at his mother.
And what a surprise her arrival was.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young man. If I want to hire a feng shui expert, I'll damn well do it. Will had to work to fight back a grin.
If that's your version of the tough mom routine, it needs a little work.
Joyce chuckled. I thought the damn added a nice dramatic flair. Right then, Angelina walked out of the guest bedroom, and Will momentarily forgot his mother was even in the room. Angelina looked more gorgeous than ever. But while he couldn't take his eyes off her, she didn't even seem to know he was in the room, as she rushed over and clasped his mother's hands in hers. Joyce, it's such a pleasure to meet you. Likewise, my dear. I hope your trip wasn't too tiring. Angelina paused and then murmured something about it being fine. How are you feeling this morning? She regarded Joyce's wheelchair and cast sympathetically. Not too well, I'm afraid, Joyce responded, forcing her eyes away from Angelina's sharp gaze, lest she give away her game. Will's eyes shot to his mother's face. He thought about calling her bluff. But she was having such a good time trying out her new acting skills, he let it go. Honey, Joyce said, turning to Will, Margie is expecting you to go over right now to pick up some treats she made.
But Mom, he complained, sounding less like a full-grown CEO and more like a little boy who wasn't getting his way. All of her daughters were over here yesterday dropping off food. What else could they possibly have made for us between now and then?
Joyce shooed him out of the kitchen, deftly using her wheelchair to get him moving toward the front door. And remember, dear, be nice to all of her lovely girls. I'm sure they'll want to have a good long chat with you since you were too busy to talk yesterday. after he closed the door behind him. Joyce wheeled back into the kitchen.
Sit down, dear, and I'll make you a cup of tea.
Angelina just wanted to get the consultation over and done with, but she knew when she was beaten, so she dutifully took a seat. She sat quietly at the kitchen table while Joyce boiled the water. Even with Will's mother confined to a wheelchair, Angelina had a feeling she was barely going to be able to keep up with her. Joyce handed her a steaming cup of chamomile tea.
I hope you don't mind how insistent I was about having you come out to New York to meet with me.
Angelina wasn't sure how to respond. The truth was, she did mind. Not because she had anything against Will's mother, but because she couldn't handle being this close to her son. Joyce waved away any answer she might have come up with.
Frankly, it's not me I'm worried about. It's Will.
Angelina was thankful she'd just swallowed her mouthful of tea. Otherwise, she would have spit it out.
I think you need to know about his father.
Joyce, I think we should be focusing on you if we're going to...
she began, but Will's mom cut her off.
When Will was young, he idolized his father, Howard. You should have seen them. Wherever Howard was, you were sure to find Will. If Howard was building something, Will had his toy hammer out and was pounding on blocks. He was 5 years old when his father left without saying goodbye. Before Howard left, Will was carefree, happy. He loved to paint with his fingers, anywhere and everywhere.
I should know, she said, chuckling softly. I spent hours cleaning finger paint off the walls and the furniture. Too quickly, the smile fell from her face.
Then overnight, Will stopped being a child. He shouldered the burden that his father left behind. Even when he was a little boy, he tried to be the man of the house. It was as if he felt that it was up to him to support us both. No matter how much I tried to let him know that I could take care of us, he always felt responsible for me.
Joyce looked up at Angelina, her eyes glazed with unshed tears.
The worst thing, though, was when he told me he was never going to have children of his own.
Why would he say a thing like that? Angelina asked.
Joyce shook her head. He has some crazy notion that he's going to be just like Howard, that he'll let down his own children.
Will would never do that, Angelina protested hotly. He's amazing with kids.
Joyce nodded in agreement.
I know that, and you know that, but he doesn't seem to.
She cleared her throat.
I know I sound like a meddling mom, but yesterday I saw a joy in him I haven't seen in almost 30 years, when he was telling me about you.
Angelina's mouth fell open, but no sound came out.
And now that we've met, I like you just as much as I thought I would.
Angelina didn't know what to say.
Joyce, I thought you wanted a feng shui consultation.
She was barely able to get the words out, with so many conflicting thoughts swirling inside her head. Will's mother patted her hand.
Oh, honey, I do. But I truly am exhausted. Do you mind if we postpone the consultation until later this afternoon?
Angelina had no choice but to nod helplessly. Joyce grabbed her empty teacup and put it in the sink. But before she wheeled herself out of the kitchen and into her bedroom, she turned back with concern in her eyes.
Suddenly I feel terrible about all of this. I've never been a matchmaker before. I'm afraid I'm not very good at it. I hope one day you will forgive me.
Angelina smiled.
Joyce, there's nothing to forgive.
She couldn't blame Will's mother for the state of her heart, or even for cajoling her into coming out to New York.
I'm the one who decided to get on that plane. I could have said no.
With that, Joyce gave Angelina a wide smile, then wheeled out of the room.
Having said as much to Joyce, Angelina had to finally face the truth. No matter what she tried to tell herself to protect her heart, she had walked on that plane because she wanted to find out more about Will from the person closest to him. She threw on a sweater to ward off the slight chill in the air, and stepped through the sliding door and onto the back deck of the house, which overlooked the lake. Angelina couldn't help but be delighted by the beauty all around her. The water was so perfectly blue, she felt as if someone must have painted it. Poplar and birch trees blanketed the mountains surrounding the lake. She felt as if the mountains were wrapping their arms around her, whispering softly that everything was going to be okay. Throughout her life, whenever Angelina was grappling with problems, she had found her answers by spending time in nature. It occurred to her now, as she walked through the incredible Adirondack Park, that living amid suburban sprawl in California had her on the verge of losing touch with the natural surroundings that were integral to her peace of mind and happiness. Yuppie heaven and high tech were hardly her style. A voice in her heart told her she wasn't in the right place anymore. Suddenly, Angelina longed to be back in a quiet community where people were more concerned with who was throwing the weekend barbecue than who had the newest cell phone. As she walked past the cute cottages, people of all ages waved at her while they gardened or played with their kids on the beach. What would it be like to live on this lake? It was a crazy thought, but something about it felt so right. At the same time, Angelina didn't know if she could trust herself to make the right decisions about her life, considering that she seemed to make all the wrong decisions about men. She sat down on the public dock and gazed out at the lake. A family of ducks swam under the dock, but she was so engrossed in her thoughts she hardly saw them. Will scared the daylights out of her when he plopped down beside her. When her heart rate returned to normal, she asked, "How were things with Margie's daughters?" He put his head in his hands. "Worse than you could ever imagine. They had actually put together a scrapbook of articles about me." In a soft voice, she said, "Why didn't you tell me the truth about who you are? Krista was the one to tell me to check out the latest copy of People." "I know it might sound ridiculous, but when you get to be a public person, you become suspicious about why people want to be around you." He looked up at the blue sky, as if looking for assistance in what he was going to say next. "At first, when we met, I assumed you knew who I was. But when you didn't know what I did for a living, it was such a relief."
"I suppose," Angelina conceded, "it must be hard to be so well known."
"The truth is, I can't remember the last time someone was interested in me instead of what I could do for them. Until I met you. That's why I didn't want you to know too much about me."
"How could you think that something as stupid as how much money you have in the bank, or how many times your picture appears in magazines, matters to me?"
Will turned and held her heated gaze. "I've never met anyone like you." All of her anger evaporated with that simple sentence. She was unable to drop her eyes, unable to break the fragile bond that they were building. "Can you forgive me?" He grasped her hand tightly in his own. She wondered for a moment what he wanted her forgiveness for lying to her, or for being a better man than she had the grace to admit he was. Suddenly, she forgave him everything. She had no choice. Her feelings for him were that strong.
"Yes, I forgive you."
She thought he was going to lean in to kiss her, and she could hardly wait to feel the sweet pressure of his lips on hers. Instead, he stood and reached out a hand to help her up.
"So, tell me, what were you thinking so hard about before I got here?"
Angelina reeled slightly from the change of subject.
I wasn't thinking about anything much, she lied,
knowing she couldn't possibly admit that she'd been thinking about him.
Your mother said she was going to rest a little, but I'm sure she's waiting for me by now. I should be heading back.
Will, who hadn't let go of her hand, said,
Not so fast. Mom can wait. Right now, I want to take you with me to my favorite place.
Now that he was being straight with her, she didn't even bother to protest. She wanted to be with him more than she wanted to leave, so she followed him willingly to his car.
Where are you taking me?
He waggled his eyebrows at her.
The information on this trip is on a need-to-know basis, and you, sweet Angelina, don't need to know.
A few minutes later, they arrived at the site of a small carnival, complete with a Ferris wheel, a miniature roller coaster, an arcade, and a booth selling cotton candy and toffee-covered popcorn. He was out in a flash to open her car door. Her hand in his, he made a beeline for the Ferris wheel.
Madame, he said,
as he paid for their tickets and helped her into the slightly battered seat on the vintage ride.
Your carriage awaits.
Amazingly, Angelina really did feel like a princess. They inched closer and closer to the top as the rest of the passengers boarded. When they reached the very top, he said,
When I was a kid, I thought this was the top of the world. I would save all my paper route money and come here with a fistful of nickels, over and over again, just to see what the world looked like from the sky.
Angelina followed his gaze out across the lake to the thick forest beyond.
It's incredibly beautiful.
Every summer, I'd memorize this picture, trying to keep it with me for the next 9 months until I could come back.
She felt as if she was looking straight into his heart.
Couldn't you have taken a photograph to keep with you?
A picture could never do this justice. I tried to paint it once in college, but...
He stopped short. Angelina was surprised to learn Will could paint, and for a moment she was utterly speechless. By the time she pulled herself together, all she could manage was a lame, I didn't know you painted. Realizing she sounded like an idiot, she added, Except for finger paints, that is. He gave her a confused look. So she explained. Your mother told me how you used to smear finger paints all over the house when you were a little boy. He was quiet for a long moment.
Funny, I don't remember that.
She laughed. She definitely does. Will grinned, and Angelina fit the puzzle pieces together. You really take after her, don't you?
I wish. I used to fiddle with painting in college, but eventually I accepted that the only way I was ever going to make a living was out in the real world, working in an office like everyone else.
Even as she listened to Will's flippant remarks about his artistic talent, or lack thereof, Angelina guessed he was being far harder on himself than any art critic or teacher could have been. Not only was he discounting all of his special talents, that made it possible for him to start a Fortune 500 company, but she could hear the passion and longing in his voice when he talked about painting, no matter how he tried to disguise it. Their ride was soon over, and she lost her chance to probe deeper into Will's artistic past. He grabbed her hand and directed them across the park to the mini roller coaster. After they were seated, Angelina said,
You should know, I'm not very good on roller coasters.
Will gestured to the pint-size ride.
Even ones with butterflies and sunflowers painted on the side?
Even those.
At his look of disbelief, she explained, When I was about 5, a fair came to our town in Idaho. It had a roller coaster like this one, and I begged my father to let me ride it, even though he said I was too small.
Will gave Angelina a slow smile. Let me guess.
You didn't give up until you got your way.
She lightly punched him on the arm before continuing her story.
I still remember that ride. It was the scariest thing I had ever done. I screamed, "Let me off!" the entire time.
He was obviously trying to hold in his laughter.
"Go ahead," she said, poking a finger in his chest. "Laugh at me. But just wait until this thing gets going and I scream so loud you go deaf."
He wrapped his arms around her and kissed her forehead.
"You probably just needed someone to hold you tight."
She tensed as the ride started, but his body was so warm against hers, and his arms felt so safe around her, that she was surprised to find herself actually enjoying it. A couple of minutes later, when the coaster came to a stop, he helped her step safely back to the ground.
"So, how was it?"
She smiled up at him. "I can't believe it," she marveled. "It was almost fun."
"Now, that's almost a resounding endorsement for the hug you tight technique," he teased.
Putting one arm around her, he steered them toward the cotton candy booth.
"Now that we've worked up an appetite, it's time for sustenance."
He bought them each a huge stick of cotton candy and an enormous bag of popcorn to share. They took their feast out to the end of the public pier and stuffed themselves. Mouthful of sticky spun sugar, Angelina said, "I don't normally eat this kind of stuff." Will gave her a wolfish glance.
"It shows."
She blushed and stuffed a hunk of cotton candy into his mouth, so he couldn't say anything else to embarrass her.
He grunted.
"Don't you know you're not supposed to talk with your mouth full?" she scolded, her eyes twinkling.
Finally, after another couple of sticky bites, Angelina's aching stomach got her attention.
"Ugh," she said, sitting back with her hands holding her flat stomach. "I just had one too many mouthfuls of sugar."
"Me too," he said,
tossing the rest of his cotton candy into a nearby garbage can. As they sat next to each other, feet dangling over the end of the pier, Angelina thought about how good it felt to be with Will. Just hanging out and having fun, Angelina felt at this moment that she had everything in the world she would ever need. Could it be? Had she finally been able to work her feng shui cupid magic on herself? Chapter 11. By the time they made it back to Will's mother's house, Joyce was up and painting at her easel in the living room.
"How was the carnival?"
Angelina opened her mouth to ask how Joyce could possibly have known that they were at the fair, but Will reached for one of her hands and held it up.
"Pink hands. This stuff is impossible to wash off. Mom always caught me when I tried to sneak junk food."
"Which was, if I recall correctly, every single day," Joyce added, trying to assume a repressive motherly look and failing badly. Angelina laughed, enjoying the interaction between Will and his mother. Still, she couldn't help but think that she should have been working with her client all this time.
"I'm sure you didn't fly me all the way out here to ride roller coasters and eat cotton candy with your son. So if you will just give me a moment to wash up, we can get started. If you're up to it, of course."
"Go ahead and take your time washing up. I need to clean out my brushes anyway." When Angelina had left the room and closed the guest bedroom door firmly behind her, Will muttered,
"If she only knew how wrong she is."
"Speak up, sonny boy. Old ladies are present."
Will barked out a laugh.
"Playing that old lady card again, are you? As if you won't be able to outrun me the day you get out of that wheelchair."
Noting the smug look on his mother's face, he turned the tables.
"All I was saying was that you did, in fact, fly her all the way out here to ride roller coasters and eat cotton candy with your son."
Joyce tried to affect a bewildered look, but when Will said, "Just admit it," she let it fall away, He would have said more, but his cell phone rang, and he excused himself to answer it, taking the call outside on the front porch. Joyce breathed a sigh of relief that she had been saved by the bell. Not that she had anything to apologize for, of course. From everything she had seen so far between her son and Angelina, it seemed that her matchmaking plan was working quite well indeed. Angelina washed her hands with soap and hot water in the guest bathroom, and wondered about the glowing woman staring back at her in the mirror. Her eyes were bright from something stronger than sugar or carnival rides. She looked like a woman who was falling in love. She loved the way Will cared for his mother. She loved how hard he'd tried to be the man of the house when his father had left them. She loved the way he made her laugh, and how he'd held her tight when she was frightened on the roller coaster. And, oh, did she love his kisses. Alarmed by the strength of her feelings, Angelina splashed her face with cool water and let it run over her hands until they were practically numb. She hoped she could mask her feelings from his mother, even though she was pretty sure it was a pointless endeavor. Joyce noticed everything around her, so there was no way she could be blind to the way Angelina felt about her son. Joyce was just laying her last brush down to dry in the kitchen when Angelina stepped into the living room.
"Where should we start?"
Angelina quickly scanned the room and noted that Will was gone. "The kitchen is just fine." Angelina hoped they could get through the open kitchen, dining, and living room before Will reappeared. She had a terrible hunch that if he was in the room, she wouldn't be able to concentrate on anything at all. Working on the main rooms in the cottage ended up being a quick affair, just as Angelina had thought it might be. They moved a rocking chair to a different corner of the living room so that people wouldn't trip over it. Then they put up a small mirror behind the stove, so that Joyce would be able to see what was going on behind her while she was cooking. When they moved into the guest bedroom, Angelina said, "Joyce, this watercolor above the bed is one of the most beautiful paintings I have ever seen." "I agree. Will has more innate talent than any painter I have ever known." Angelina's mouth fell open. Will created this masterpiece? Quickly, she put two and two together. He did the watercolor oceanscape in his house, too, didn't he?
"He certainly did," Joyce replied, full of pride. "He was only 21 when he painted it."
Before Angelina could remind herself to keep a professional distance, she said, "But Joyce, Will told me today he wasn't good enough. How he had to accept his lack of talent and get a normal job to earn a paycheck. But you know what? I didn't believe him. I couldn't. Not when I heard the passion for art in his voice. I saw his love of painting in his eyes." She looked up finally, realizing she had just aired all of her private thoughts and feelings to Will's mother. "Forgive me," she said, feeling horribly embarrassed. "I don't mean to be babbling like this. I'm just so surprised." Joyce patted her hand. "No need to apologize to me. I know exactly how you feel. The day he came home with all of his brushes and canvases packed up in a crate, telling me he was finished painting, saying he was done fooling around, it broke my heart." As they made their way through the rest of the house, Angelina couldn't help but wonder what had happened to the boy who had wanted to be a painter, but gave it up to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders instead. They had just walked back into the kitchen when Will stepped inside, stuffing his cell phone into his pocket. It was clear to both women that something was very wrong. He ran his right hand through his hair.
"I've got to get back to California right away."
In answer to both women's perplexed stares, he said,
"Looks like the new CFO is trying to convince the board to have me removed."
Turning to his mother, he asked, "Will you be all right without me?" Joyce patted his hand. I'll be fine. I'm just glad you were able to come at all. Soon you can come back out for a vacation.
How would you like a ride back in my private jet? Will asked Angelina. It's waiting for us at the airstrip.
Angelina looked back and forth from Will to Joyce, trying to make up her mind. Your mother already purchased a first-class ticket for me, and I don't want to waste her money.
Don't worry, Joyce said, a grin on her lips.
I used Will's money to pay for your ticket. It's the only time I've ever used that ridiculous credit card he set up for me. I should really get rid of it. Go with him. His private plane is really fun. As soon as Angelina left the room, Will spoke softly.
Thanks, Mom, for bringing Angelina here.
He couldn't say anything more. Not until he and Angelina talked about their future. A future he wanted more than anything. Joyce wheeled up to Will. He bent down, and she kissed him softly on the cheek.
You're welcome.
Angelina hugged Joyce goodbye, and 10 minutes later, she was walking up the small flight of steps that led to the interior of Will's private plane. It was more sumptuous than anything she could have imagined. He gave her a tour, and she was amazed to find that the jet even had a bedroom on board. Moving back into the seating area, she remarked, "This is even better than first class." Will laughed.
"It's not bad."
"Take it for granted, do you?" He looked around at the thick leather seats, the huge entertainment center on the wall behind the cockpit, the decked-out bar, and the bookshelf full of current magazines and his favorite books.
"No, I don't. It's more like I don't always feel that I deserve it. Does that make sense?"
Angelina cocked her head to the side. "Do you really feel that way?" Instead of answering, Will helped her get seated and then popped his head into the cockpit to give the pilot the go-ahead.
"What can I get you to drink?"
"Whatever you've got," Angelina said, intent on their conversation. "You haven't answered my question yet." He poured each of them a glass of Merlot, then sat down and buckled in.
"Sometimes it feels like the life I've built for myself isn't the one I'm supposed to be living. It's funny, isn't it?" he said. "How one day we wake up and wonder why we're doing the things we are doing."
Angelina nodded and took a sip of red wine for courage. Throwing caution to the wind, she said, "Your painting in the guest room is absolutely stunning." Myriad expressions crossed Will's face, surprise mixed with pride, finally ending with a shuddering of his eyes, which had been so open to her just moments before.
"My mother told you."
Angelina knew she had hit a tender spot, but she refused to back down so easily. "During our consultation, I couldn't help but let her know how much I loved her work, especially the painting in the guest bedroom. She told me you were the painter. Your art is so wonderful, Will. How could you have stopped painting?"
"I never stood a chance out there in the art world."
"And just what evidence do you have for that?"
"What was I supposed to do? Get some galleries to hang up my paintings in the unlikely chance that someone would want to buy them, while my mother worked day and night to support me?"
Angelina swallowed hard, but held his gaze. "Yes, I think that was exactly what you were supposed to do." Angelina could see that Will was uncomfortable with the way their conversation was going. She felt bad for pushing him, knew that was one of her greatest faults. A feng shui consultant was simply supposed to observe and make suggestions. She'd always been far too invested in what her clients wanted to hold back on any kind of judgment. But more than anything, she wanted to see Will happy. "I'm sorry," she said in a soft voice. "I shouldn't have said that." He was silent for a long moment. Finally, he said,
"You surprise me at every turn, Angelina. It's not a bad thing. Not at all."
She reached out for his hands, but holding them wasn't enough. The kiss that came next wasn't enough either. Since the moment she'd met this man, she'd been fighting her attraction to him. But now it was more than pure desire that drove her. She was falling in love with him, and she wanted more. She stood up, holding out her hands to him again. She waited until he was standing in front of her.
"I'm so glad I saw your lake, your paintings, that I was able to meet your mother."
"I am too, Angelina."
Slowly, she led him away from their seats toward the back of the plane. "Now I'd like to take a closer look at your onboard bedroom." They spent the next several hours in the small bedroom, kissing, touching, giving, and getting pleasure from one another. There were no words of love between them, but Angelina tried to convince herself that they didn't need to speak them aloud. Not when they were saying everything they needed to say with their bodies. When the pilot's voice came over the intercom, telling them they would be landing in 20 minutes, they dressed quietly and buckled themselves back into their seats without a word.
"Just in case I get too wrapped up in dealing with the mess at the office, I want you to know I'm thinking of you. Always."
Angelina nodded.
"Me too," she said,
too caught up in emotion to say anything more.
"My legal counsel is already here," he said apologetically, as he helped her down the steps to the tarmac. "Do you mind if I have my driver take you home?"
Angelina regretted that their idyll had come to an end. The real world had intruded much too soon.
"That's fine."
Will bent down to give her a kiss, filled with promise, then walked her over to his limo. And as he watched her drive away, more than anything, he wished he could go home with her, instead of going straight onto a corporate battlefield. Chapter 12. For the next 2 weeks, Angelina thought of little else but Will. Again and again she replayed their sweet and sensual lovemaking, their wonderful conversations, their spin on the Ferris wheel. Krista tried to pick up the slack in Angelina's life, getting into the habit of just dropping by for coffee or a walk, or the inevitable shopping trip. What great irony it was, Angelina thought later, that the bomb should fall on her while she was in the mall. In the middle of trying on some designer shoes at Bloomingdale's, Krista suddenly dropped the pair she was trying on.
"I need to go to the bathroom. Now."
She dragged Angelina up the escalator and around the formal wear section into the ladies' room.
"Quick, give me a tampon," Krista said, holding her hands out to Angelina expectantly.
Angelina frowned.
"I don't have any on me." "You always get your period 2 days before me."
Angelina did some quick calculating.
"I don't have my period, Chris."
"No way.
You're regular as clockwork."
Slumping down onto the beaten leather seat in the lounge outside the stall, Angelina felt her world shatter.
"I didn't exactly tell you the whole story about what happened in New York. On the plane, actually."
Angelina put her head in her hands for a few moments, and then looked up, staring blankly at the wall behind her friend.
She whispered, "We had sex."
"On the plane? You slept with Will on his private jet?"
"Yes. It was my idea. I just couldn't wait anymore."
She looked up at her friend. "Happy now that you know everything?"
"Only if it was great sex," Krista said, managing to prompt a laugh out of Angelina.
"The best." Angelina slumped deeper into her chair.
"What if I'm pregnant?"
Minutes later, they were standing in front of the row of pregnancy tests at the nearby pharmacy. Angelina felt faint.
Chris, what am I doing here?
Don't worry, sweetie. I'll be here with you every step of the way. Krista pointed to a bright pink and blue striped box. This is the one I've seen advertised.
The one where the perfect couple is deliriously happy and can't wait to add a perfect baby to their perfect life?
That's the one. Krista swiped it off the counter and walked up to the checkout line. Mutely, she followed her best friend out onto the sidewalk.
Thanks for buying that for me.
No problem, Ange.
You shouldn't have to buy this for yourself. It's even worse than buying your first condoms when you're still in high school.
Angelina raised an eyebrow.
I was in college before I did that.
Speak for yourself. I was in junior high.
Angelina laughed. You were not, you big bragger.
But when they got in Krista's car, with the ominous package sitting on her lap, Angelina was far too scared to smile anymore. What if the line was blue? Angelina peed on the strip and prayed for pink. After all, she reasoned, she'd been under a lot of stress, and that could have made her a few days late.
I can't take it anymore, Krista said, pushing the door open and grabbing the indicator strip off the counter.
But Angelina had already seen the results for herself and slipped down the cold tiles onto her bathroom floor. Tears spilled down her cheeks. Krista squatted down to rock Angelina gently back and forth, murmuring that everything was going to be okay.
No, Angelina said, wiping the tears from her face with the backs of her hands. Everything isn't going to be okay.
Krista refused to listen. Once you tell Will, he'll be thrilled, and...
He never wants to have kids, Angelina sobbed, wiping at her nose with the back of her hand. People are always using him because he's rich and famous. He'll think I got pregnant to get at his money.
Scoot over, Krista said, sitting next to Angelina on the floor. So maybe he said he didn't want kids, but he's crazy about you, and he'd never think something like that. In an instant, Angelina knew what she had to do.
I'm not going to tell him. Not yet. Not until I get my life in order.
You have to tell him, Ange.
I will eventually, I promise. I'm going to have this baby, and I'm going to love it so much. But I'm not going to force Will to be a part of it.
What are you doing? Krista said, as Angelina stood up, walked to her office, and turned on her computer.
I'm finding a house to rent on Wishing Lake, and then I'm leaving, as soon as possible.
Krista stood staring at Angelina.
Wait a minute. You don't want to tell Will about the baby yet, but you're going to move to the lake his mother lives on? Won't she know something's up when your belly turns into a beach ball?
It's not Joyce's fault that Will doesn't want children. I know she'll be the best grandmother in the world. And besides, we both know it's time for me to leave suburbia. I need to be part of nature again.
Angelina finished explaining and glanced up at her friend.
Are you going to help me, or just stand there looking confused?
Give me the phone, Krista said. I've got some realtors to call. Will felt as if his world had turned upside down. He was knee-deep in the most complex financial and legal negotiations of his career, and all he could think about was Angelina. He was sure at least one of the 20 people crammed into the airless boardroom must have picked up on his unusual inattention by now. Worse still, he had started doodling on his yellow notepad during the endless discussions. Will hadn't even noticed he was drawing until Jerry, his lead counsel, who was seated next to him at the head of the large oval table, leaned over and said with a chuckle, "Hey, that's a pretty good likeness of Bob you've drawn there." Will snapped out of his fog and looked down at his notepad. He had drawn a comical yet accurate caricature of the offending orator, complete with bulging nose, bushy eyebrows, and a waistline that had expanded from one too many power lunches. Hastily, he turned to a fresh page and silently chewed himself out for not keeping closer tabs on the meeting. The fate of his company was at stake, he reminded himself sternly. Couldn't he put up with a few days of stale air and lifeless discussions in order to get things back on track? Shaking the muddled thoughts and pictures from his head, he struggled to focus on the business at hand. But he found the only way he could hold on to his sanity was by keeping his pen busy on the paper, capturing his version of the events as they unfolded. Will thought he had completely squashed all remaining urges to create art when he'd packed up his brushes that last year of college. He was amazed to find that suddenly, in the most unlikely of circumstances, his hands and mind wanted to create with a vengeance. After nearly 20 years away from art, he was increasingly drawn to seeing what he could come up with next, with only a pen and paper as his tools. While he drew and listened with one ear, he thought about how much he missed Angelina. During the past 2 weeks, he had barely found the time to call her each evening, to check in for a minute or two. It was selfish of him, but he desperately needed to hear her voice each day. When things got really crazy behind closed doors, when voices were raised with threats and brows were being mopped at the end of the latest round, Will found that just thinking of Angelina and the short time they had spent together made it feel like less of a do-or-die situation. Interestingly, Will's detachment was throwing his detractors off course. Instead of being the admitted corporate shark he had been for the past decade, he was letting his opponents flail about helplessly by not going up against them. It was yet another thing that he had to thank Angelina for. Just as this thought crossed his mind, the negotiations escalated to a fever pitch. Excusing himself, he left the room and walked down the hallway until he was outside breathing in fresh air in the parking lot. Moving to lean against the trunk of a tree, he pulled out his cell phone and dialed Angelina's number. "Damn it," he thought when he got her voicemail. He needed to talk to her. He needed to hear her voice. He didn't know when exactly she had become so important to him. Just that she was. "Angelina," he said, knowing better than to hang up without leaving a message this time. "I'm calling to let you know that I may be out of touch for another few days." He paused, trying to gather his thoughts. "Things here are at a breaking point, and I've got to head deep into the trenches until the war is won." He laughed softly into the phone, his only smile in days. "Sorry about the war metaphors. I guess they don't call it corporate warfare for nothing." He was getting way off track, so he cleared his throat and said, "What I'm trying to say is, I miss you. And even if I don't call you for a while, I'm thinking about you every moment, and I..." Mid-sentence, he stopped speaking, realizing he was just about to say, "I love you." Overwhelmed by the force of his emotions, he fumbled out, "And I can't wait to see you again." He clicked his phone shut and leaned against the tree trunk, wondering when he had become such a bumbling fool. But because it had been a while since he'd slept for more than a few hours at a time, he cut himself some slack. He needed a long hot shower and to sleep for 24 hours straight. He went back inside to face his opponents, and as the corporate battle raged on, he found solace and strength only by drawing Angelina again and again on his yellow notepad. He drew her from every well of memory he could mine. Sitting on the dock at the lake, standing on his front porch the day they met, hiking on Angel Island. He even drew her sitting on top of the Ferris wheel, with the lake and trees behind her, a place he thought he would never have been able to get right. But with Angelina smiling up at him from the sketch he had drawn,
He suddenly realized that she had been the missing link all along. Angelina heard the phone ring and instinctively knew it was Will. She stopped packing up her office and stood still as a statue, afraid to even breathe for some absurd fear that he would hear her and know she was avoiding him. When the red light on her phone started to blink with a message waiting, she hesitantly picked up the receiver and dialed her mailbox number. At the sound of Will's voice, she wanted nothing more than to weep. But she had promised herself when she woke up that morning, after a long night of tears, that she was going to face her new life, the life she had manifested through her own actions, with a positive outlook, if not for herself, then for her baby. All day she had been working diligently to get her affairs in order for her big move across country. She had contacted each of her clients with referrals to other consultants, deflecting their questions regarding her sudden change of plans by mustering up a cheerful tone of voice and speaking vaguely about the wisdom of change. Angelina, however, wasn't sure that there was anything wise at all about the changes she was making. But she did know she could no longer live 15 minutes away from the man she loved, with his baby on her hip. Both of their lives, she acknowledged with a further sinking of her heart, would become a media spectacle if and when anyone ever found out. At the very least, she felt a small measure of peace, knowing that Krista had found her a cozy cottage on Wishing Lake in New York, and that her child would grow up with a loving grandmother close by. Krista had negotiated a deal with the owner, whereby Angelina could lease for 6 months, and then if she wanted to stay, she would be able to buy it at a fair price. Joyce was going to be surprised by her sudden return to the lake, and frankly, Angelina wasn't sure when or how she was going to tell Joyce that she was pregnant with Will's baby. No matter how she looked at the situation, it wasn't fair to make Joyce pay for their sins. The situation with Will, on the other hand, was far less clear. She would have to come clean with him at some point in the future, but first she needed some time to sort things out for herself, including how to get over a broken heart, particularly when she'd been instrumental in breaking it herself. By noon, Angelina was utterly exhausted from packing and thinking and worrying. She had just plopped down on her couch in her living room to take a 5-minute nap when Krista came barreling through her front door already mid-sentence. "Heading out for my lunch break, and I thought I'd drop by to see if you wanted anything to..." "Ange, you look terrible." Angelina nodded sleepily in agreement.
"I'm just so damn tired," she said,
yawning halfway through her sentence.
"But I still have so much packing to do."
"Nonsense. I'm hiring you a packing company." Angelina started to protest, so Krista said, "It'll be my going away present to you, even though you know I don't want you to go away." Angelina kicked her feet up on the ottoman in front of her and closed her eyes. She was just dozing off by the time Krista had completed her call to the moving company. Her best friend shook her awake. "The movers will be here ASAP. Take the keys to my apartment and go get some sleep. I'll stay here and tell them what to do." Angelina felt tears spring up in her eyes. She gave Krista a fierce hug.
"You're the best."
Krista returned her hug, saying affectionately, "You pregnant women are all so emotional."
"Don't remind me."
She took Krista's keys and shoved them in her pocket.
"Are you sure you don't mind taking care of this for me?"
Krista, who had already made herself perfectly comfortable on the couch, waved her out the door. "Go already. Who knows? Maybe one of the moving boys will be a cutie."
"What about Derek?"
Krista waved her hand in the air.
"His company party isn't till next month. And besides, just because I said I'd go out with him doesn't mean I've got a chastity belt on until then."
Angelina laughed and groaned at the same time.
Thanks, Chris.
I know you'd do the same for me.
Angelina nodded and walked out the front door.
It was true. If Krista ever got in a predicament like the one she was in, she would help her best friend in any way she could.
Who was the one leading a seemingly unblemished life now? Angelina admitted regretfully that while Krista's life was outwardly wild and reckless, at least she had more sense than to lose her heart to a completely unavailable man and get pregnant all at the same time. Angelina slept like the dead in Krista's apartment. By the time she returned to her house, it was empty except for a suitcase in the foyer with an envelope on it. Angelina walked through the rooms in disbelief. How could anyone have possibly packed up my house so quickly? Her words reverberated off the bare wood floors and empty stucco walls. She went back into the foyer and opened up the envelope.
What the heck?
A first-class ticket to New York fell out and onto the floor. She picked it up. She was booked on a direct flight to Albany from San Francisco, leaving at 8 p.m. Unfolding the note, she read Krista's flowing handwriting. Ange. In case you were wondering, the movers were all cute, and I promised that if they got you packed up on the double, I would take them out for a drink. Looks like my little scheme did the trick, although I hope they're at least 21. And did I mention how cute they are? I know you wanted to get out of here as soon as possible, so I booked you a ticket to New York for tonight. No moving gift is complete without first class. The realtor is expecting you at 8 a.m. tomorrow, with the key to your new house. You know I'm no good at goodbyes, so I arranged an airport limo to come and get you. Whatever you need, call me. And keep the sheets clean on your guest bed. You never know when I'll be at your door. Love, Chris. Angelina leaned heavily against the inside of the front door and held Krista's letter to her chest. She wondered what she had ever done to deserve such an amazing friend. Someday, she hoped she could repay her for all of the support she had given her during this impossible time. The airport limo was already parked in her driveway. She popped her head out the front door, signaling to the driver that she needed a couple more minutes. She picked up her cell phone and made a call.
Hi, Dad. It's me.
Hi, yourself. Louise and I were just talking about you. We just got back.
Angelina interrupted. Listen, Dad, I've got some news for you.
Not having the words to tell him the whole truth, she simply said, I'm going to be out of town for a while, and I just wanted you to know. She rushed on before he could ask any questions. But I haven't forgotten about my promise to help out with your wedding.
Her dad interjected, sounding a bit sheepish.
Actually, honey, I have some more exciting news for you.
In a rush, he explained,
Louise and I just couldn't wait. We're in Las Vegas, and we literally just got married. I was about to call you with the news when I reached for my phone and saw that you were calling me.
Angelina took delight in hearing the excitement in her father's voice. His newfound happiness was so evident. She listened as he gave her all the details and told her about the hotel and the ceremony. Looking at her watch, Angelina said,
Dad, I hate to interrupt again, but I've got to get to the airport. I'd love to hear more about the wedding, and I really want to meet Louise. She sounds perfect for you. How about I call you in the next day or two?
Oh, sure thing, sweetie. I can hardly wait for my two best girls to meet each other.
Disconnecting the call and turning to look one last time at what had been a wonderful home, Angelina picked up her suitcase, opened the front door, and walked out toward the limo without a backward glance. Angelina was staring blankly ahead in the waiting area for gate 15 at SFO when a young couple with a baby sat down next to her. She watched them kiss and cuddle their child, and something inside her tore apart. When the mother passed the sweet baby girl to the father, and Angelina saw the look of utter delight on his face as he cooed nonsense words to his daughter, Angelina jumped up out of her seat and ran to the nearest payphone. She called Will's house and cell, but wasn't surprised when he didn't pick up. He told her in his message that he was going to be on lockdown at his company. She dialed the number for PTI. An operator picked up. PTI headquarters, how may I direct your call? Angelina caught her breath. I need to speak to Will Scott, please. The operator sent Angelina's call through.
Will Scott's office?
This is Angelina Morgan, and I need to speak to Will Scott immediately.
I'm afraid that isn't possible. Mr. Scott is in a meeting right now.
Please, Angelina begged, as the gate attendants began boarding her airplane. I need to speak with him right away.
I will direct you to his voicemail.
If you would only tell him he has an urgent phone call from Angelina, I know he'll take the call and...
I'm sorry, ma'am. Mr. Scott is in a closed session with the board. You will have to call back later.
Tears bubbled up again in her eyes as she put down the phone. Ignoring the looks from nearby passengers, she hastily wiped her eyes with the back of her hand and boarded the plane. Chapter 13. Over the past 48 hours, Will hadn't slept, shaved, or eaten more than a fistful of pretzels. It might have been delirium kicking in, but for the first time in his career, he couldn't see how any of the crap he was going through to keep control of his company was worth this kind of stress. More than one person that he had considered a friend had turned on him. Apart from Jerry, there was no one he could trust. Not one of them had proven that they would stick by him when the chips were down, nor trust him to make the best decision for their employees and stockholders. During the past 10 years, he had looked forward to what every new day at the helm of his company would bring. But today, everything was different. No, it wasn't just today, he admitted. Over the past couple of years, as PTI had become bigger and bigger, he rarely, if ever, had a chance to even get close to hands-on with the electronic side of the business. Instead, he was always in boardrooms like this one. Right now, he didn't care about corporate profits. He just wanted to hold Angelina close to him again, laugh with her. He wanted her to remind him, in her straightforward yet captivating way, just how much more there was to life than running a company. But more than anything, he wanted to tell Angelina how much he loved her. Will heard one of the lawyers bark out his name. Blinking up at the group of men and women, he felt as if he was seeing them all for the first time. They looked like a bunch of hostages, sitting, pacing, and even slumped against the floor of the artificially lit boardroom. In that moment, something inside him clicked into place. Standing, a wry smile on his face, he said, "Gentlemen, ladies, this meeting is now adjourned. I will let you know when I make my decision as to the next step in resolving this conflict." He confidently strode out of the room, a new spring in his step, deaf not only to the cries of outrage from many of the room's occupants, but also to the hallelujahs from the older board members, who were barely holding on from lack of rest, food, and fresh air. Will quickly debated whether or not to go home and shower, before heading to Angelina's house to surprise her, and opted for a quick shower and shave. "Better not go in there smelling like a garbage dump." He laughed aloud as he slid into his car and started the ignition. For the first time since he'd left Angelina at the airport, Will felt alive. He rolled the top down and turned on the radio to his favorite classic rock station. Quickly covering the short distance from his office to his house, He left his car in the driveway and dashed through his front door, stripping off his clothes on the way to the best shower of his entire life. After drying himself off with a plush towel, he decided his wisest plan of action was to catch a couple of hours of sleep. After all, he thought to himself as he slipped between his sheets, Angelina deserved a coherent declaration of love and a proper marriage proposal. In his slightly delirious, sleep-deprived state, he was sure to fumble things and end up sounding like an ass. Will slept soundly for several hours. Upon waking, he felt better than ever and got ready to go. He dressed quickly and drove the short distance to the mall, heading straight for Tiffany. Nodding in greeting to the many salespeople on the floor who said, "Welcome, Mr. Scott," as he passed by their display cases, he crossed the store and proceeded straight to the back room, which was reserved for regular customers. Jim, the head salesperson, said, "Mr. Scott, it is my pleasure to see you back in the store again." "Likewise, Jim," Will replied, a ready smile on his lips. Leaning forward, he lowered his voice in a confidential manner. "I was hoping you could help me with something very important." "Of course, sir." "I need you to find me the most exquisite engagement ring you have on the premises." Jim inclined his head in understanding and prepared to bring back a selection of rings for Will to consider. "Oh, and Jim, could you make sure it has something red in it?" With a smile and a nod, Jim disappeared into the back room, leaving Will temporarily alone with his thoughts. He couldn't wait for the moment when Angelina became his. He already knew just what he wanted: a short engagement, a long honeymoon, and a family of little girls with Angelina's good looks and quick mind. Flying first class for the second time in her life should have been exciting, but all Angelina did was sleep. What a waste. If Krista asks, I'm going to tell her that I kept the flight attendants busy the whole time, she whispered to herself, after being awoken by the pilot announcing their impending arrival. An efficient flight attendant must have seen her lips move. "Miss Morgan, would you like some juice or coffee?" Angelina mustered up a smile. "I would love a glass of orange juice," she said with a dry tongue, appreciating the perks of flying first class, knowing full well that the customers behind the thick blue curtain were not having their every whim catered to. As she took a fortifying gulp of her orange juice, she tried to imagine her new life in a cottage on Wishing Lake. But instead, all she could think about was Will, and how much she already missed him. She put her glass down with a shaky hand, and the flight attendant gave her a quick pat on the shoulder. "All of us have a bad day every now and then, honey. Don't beat yourself up over it. Everything is going to be all right." Angelina blinked back the tears that sprang into her eyes from such a heartfelt expression of empathy from a total stranger. Leaning back against the soft leather seat, she tried to make believe that everything actually was going to be all right. Will drove straight from the jewelry store to Angelina's house. He wasn't going to let one more thing get between him and the woman he was meant to be with for the rest of his life. He pulled up to the curb in front of her house and noted that her red VW Bug was not parked in the driveway. "Probably parked in the garage," he said cheerfully to himself. Tapping his right pocket with the palm of his hand, making sure the engagement ring was still there, he walked confidently up the front path and rang the doorbell. When Angelina didn't answer, he tried the doorknob to see if she had left it unlocked by accident. It twisted easily in his hand. He rang the doorbell and started to walk inside, a huge smile on his face. He was looking forward to surprising Angelina with his unexpected presence. He stepped into a completely empty house, unable to believe his eyes. She was gone. Will spent the night with a bottle of Jack Daniels and woke up on his living room floor with a pounding head and a mouth that tasted like old socks. When the doorbell rang, he didn't even realize it was the doorbell. Instead, it sounded like 100 cannons all firing in his head. He rolled over into a sitting position, not quite sure what had happened. As he heard a key turn in the lock, he suddenly remembered everything and wished the bottle of whiskey wasn't empty. He badly needed another drink. The sound of high heels clicking on the wood floor was as painful as someone playing the drums right next to his head. He looked up, bleary-eyed. His ex-wife was standing with her hands on her hips, looking down at him. "What happened to you?" she said in a strangely serious voice.
"Not so loud. You're killing me with that racket."
"How about this?" she said, as she picked up a large hardcover book from the coffee table and threw it down on the floor. Will covered his ears with his hands a millisecond too late.
"This is what death must feel like," he groaned, squeezing his eyes tightly shut,
hoping that when he opened them, his nightmare would have ended. "Not even close," his ex-wife said smoothly, as she slid neatly onto the couch and crossed her legs.
"Why are you here?"
"I have spent the past 24 hours fielding angry phone calls from the wives of your board members, who are worried that they aren't going to be able to make the payments on their vacation homes anymore."
"Oh," Will said, his voice flat.
"Do you mind telling me why you walked out of the most important meeting of your career?" "I swear," she said, throwing her hands up in the air. "I had no idea what to tell these women. You've always been so incredibly responsible." Will was trying to figure out what the hell he should say when she spotted the engagement ring lying on the carpet next to the fireplace. Susan picked up the ring and examined it with a knowledgeable eye. "Wow, what an incredible ring." Will stared blankly at it. Susan plopped herself in an uncharacteristically sloppy heap next to him on the carpet. "You bought this for Angelina, didn't you?" Will snapped out of his drunken stupor in an instant.
"How could you possibly have guessed that?"
"I would have to be completely blind, deaf, and dumb to have missed the sparks flying between you and Angelina that night at the restaurant. You probably realized pretty quickly that I sent her to work with you because I wanted to try to get back together. But once I saw the kind of chemistry the two of you had, I knew I needed to give you up for good. You never once looked at me the way you were devouring her."
"Susan, I need to apologize to you for being such a jerk for so long," he began awkwardly. "I can't believe I never took the time to find out who you really are on the inside. I was so selfish from the start."
Susan's eyes glistened slightly. "We tried our best to make things work, but we were never right for each other, were we?" Seeming to catch herself before she got all mushy on him, she cleared her throat and held up the ring. "So, now that we've got all of that cleared up, why don't you tell me why this ring was lying over there on the floor?" When he didn't answer right away, she added, "I know I wasn't much of a wife, but I hope I can be your friend." Will felt tears well up in his eyes, but he couldn't chalk it up to being drunk. For all he'd drunk the night before, he was now stone-cold sober. He reached out for Susan's hand and gave it a quick squeeze.
"Thanks, Suze."
His ex gave him a small smile and waited patiently for him to talk.
"Angelina doesn't love me," he said, feeling like a pathetic, wet, shivering dog. "I thought she did, but she doesn't."
What could she have done to make you believe that?
I left those stupid negotiations to go and propose to her, and when I got to her house, it was empty. She left. She's gone.
He had opened himself up to Angelina, and she had left with his heart and given no forwarding address.
Like your father?
Susan asked softly. His head whipped up.
Excuse me?
Will, Susan began. You've been living your whole life with a wall around your heart because of what your father did to you and your mom when he left. You've been carrying around this misguided sense of responsibility for so long that you haven't even noticed how it's wrecked your life.
Before Will could say one single thing in his own defense, Susan hammered him with,
Has it even occurred to you for one single second that there may be another reason why Angelina left that has nothing to do with her not loving you?
When he didn't say anything, she said sternly, Maybe you should stop wallowing in your own self-pity long enough to give it some thought.
Don't bother mincing words. It's just my entire life we're talking about here.
I know that, and that's why I'm trying to help you get things straight. She stood up and brushed the wrinkles out of her linen slacks. You know what you need to do now, don't you?
Find Angelina.
And? Susan prompted.
And love her forever.
His ex-wife leaned over and gave him a gentle kiss on the cheek. Although I'd suggest you take a quick shower first. You wouldn't want her to run away screaming when she smells you from across the room. Chapter 14 What took you so long? Krista said, when Will barged into her Banks and Bidley law office in downtown Palo Alto.
I take it you're not surprised to see me?
I take it you had a really important business meeting you couldn't get out of. It would have been impossible for Will to miss the sarcasm lacing her every word.
I was an idiot, but I'm here now.
His admission seemed to make Krista happy. She's in New York.
New York? Why?
Krista shook her head. You're going to have to figure that one out for yourself, she said. But she wrote Wishing Lake on a piece of paper and held it out to him.
You're going to look great as the maid of honor, he said, as he leaned across the table to give her a quick hug, then hightailed it out the door.
Krista swiveled in her chair to watch Will run out to his car and speed off. She sighed and thought about Derek, whom she hadn't been able to get out of her mind for the past few weeks, even though he was a total nerd. Why can't I find my own CEO? She muttered, as she turned back to her latest case.
Heck, I'll even take a VP at this point.
She smiled as she thought about her best friend and the man who obviously couldn't live without her. He's right about one thing, at least. I'm gonna look damn good at their wedding. The 5-hour flight to New York gave Will plenty of time to think about his life. Way too much time, in fact, considering he was still trying to stay clear of anything too deep or painful. Hoping to keep himself occupied with some light reading during the flight, he reached for the stack of newspapers next to his seat. Will soon comprehended his tactical error. His picture was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Financial Post. Playboy CEO walks out on takeover negotiations. Shareholders are outraged as PTI stock takes its biggest dip ever. Tech tycoon leaves company in jeopardy. CFO alleges illegal activity at PTI. Will Scott, CEO, implicated in dirty dealings.
You've got to be kidding me.
Will was hardly able to believe the headlines in the newsprint spread across the table before him. He waited for his brain to get into gear. He needed to work on a game plan for getting his company back on track.
Come on, he urged himself when no inspiration was forthcoming. There's got to be a good idea in that thick skull of yours.
He paced the small confines of his private plane, figuring that some movement was all he needed to get the blood going to his brain again. The only reason he had walked out on the negotiations in his boardroom was so that he could see Angelina. After that was taken care of, he was going to head right back into his office and throw himself wholeheartedly into running PTI again. Will heard the little voice in his head taunting him.
Hey, buddy, you know you don't ever want to go back into that place, so why are you fighting it? You're too much of a sissy to be a painter, aren't you? You always loved the excuse that you couldn't be a painter because you need the money. But now that you've got money, you're petrified to start painting.
Will wondered if he was going crazy from lack of sleep.
If you go back into that office and keep playing CEO, you know what's going to happen to you, don't you?
He was responsible to his shareholders and...
You'd get that damn word responsible gilded in gold if you could. That way you could run from ever having to feel anything again. You could just say, oh, look at me. I'm so important and responsible for everyone.
No, he didn't do that, did he?
Why do you think your wife left you? Now you've got another chance at being happy. But you're going to blow it, aren't you?
No, he was going to ask Angelina to marry him.
Now, isn't that sweet? The voice mocked. Won't she be ever so happy playing the cute little wife to the big fancy lady-killer CEO?
Will finally saw the truth. She was going to hate it.
That's right, Einstein. So why don't you admit that you hate it, too?
But he didn't hate it. At least, he didn't hate everything about it.
Fine. Let me just ask you this. Would you rather be standing behind a canvas right now painting? Or back in the boardroom locked in for 48 hours?
Will punched the backrest of the seat beside him.
Sir?
The pilot opened the cockpit door and leaned out, looking at him with concern.
Are you all right back there?
Will quickly composed himself and nodded.
Everything's fine, Charlie. Thanks for the smooth flight.
The pilot gave him a thumbs up and closed the door again, leaving Will alone with his thoughts. He poured himself a glass of neat whiskey from the bar. It was time to stop focusing on doing the right thing all the time. Maybe all these years of being responsible simply for the sake of responsibility had been a fool's game. Will reached for the airphone and called Jerry, his lead counsel, the only man he could trust to carry out his extraordinary decision in a fair, objective fashion. It took nearly 30 minutes to outline his plan for stepping down as CEO of PTI and dispersing the bulk of his owner's shares equitably among the co-workers who had stuck with him through good times and bad. He was about to hang up when Jerry said,
"I'm proud of you, kid. It's about time you learned that there's more to life than running this company. I almost lost my family about 10 years back, before I finally figured out that they came first. Mind if I ask you what you're going to do now that you're free?"
Will cleared his throat.
"I'm going to win back the woman I love and convince her to marry me, even though I'm an idiot and don't deserve her."
"Ah," Jerry said, his voice full of memories. "Sounds like true love to me. Beg if you have to, you hear?" "I'll try and remember that."
"And one more thing," Jerry said.
"What's that?"
Will asked, looking forward to any additional advice the wise older man had to give him.
"I've been thinking about those drawings you were doing. Boy, did they make me laugh. You should let more people see your talent."
Angelina dropped her bags onto the knotty pine floor of her new home. She breathed a sigh of relief that this lakefront cottage had a clear sense of comfort and well-being. Just being inside the house, she felt a small bit of contentment seep into her system. In fact, as she walked around admiring the furniture and the artwork, she was reminded to a great degree of being in Will's mother's house.
needing to make the cottage seem like hers, even before the truck came with all of her belongings in the next couple of days, she wheeled her suitcase into the master bedroom to unpack a few pictures of her family and friends. As she walked through the doorway into the large suite, she was stunned by the phenomenal view of the water before her, and she saw Will everywhere she looked. "Give it some time, Ange," she told herself as she bent down to unzip her bag. "One day you'll be able to make it a whole 5 minutes without thinking about him." She finished unpacking and decided to go for a walk along the lake. Maybe she'd even get up the nerve to go and see Joyce, even though she was still unsure about how she was going to explain her sudden move. "Oh, well," she said as she laced up her tennis shoes, "I'll cross that bridge when I come to it." Before she left the house, however, she did the one thing she should have done so many months ago. She went to the love and marriage corner of her new rental home and placed a small porcelain statue of a man and woman, entwined in their love for each other. Feeling much more centered with just that small feng shui touch, she headed off the porch onto the white sandy beach that stretched all around the freshwater lake. She wasn't too surprised when her feet took her to the left, away from Joyce's cottage. "It seems that my feet are cowards, too," she said, making fun of herself. She didn't know how long she'd been walking before she found herself standing in front of the Ferris wheel. Several families and a lot of kids were at the amusement park, enjoying the rides. Angelina sat down on the same bench she had shared with Will to watch them play and have fun. She held her hand over her still flat stomach and whispered to the life growing inside her, "One day, you're going to be riding that roller coaster and coming home with pink hands." Upon landing at the small airstrip by Wishing Lake, Will headed straight to his mother's house. He strolled in the front door without knocking, knowing it would be unlocked. "Guess who?" he said, hoping to surprise his mother with his presence. "So, you're finally here for her, huh?" Joyce replied unceremoniously, not even bothering to pause as she added brushstrokes to her latest canvas. The whole thing was so damn preposterous, he felt as if he was on the roller coaster at the carnival. "I stepped down as CEO this morning. It'll hit the news by tonight." "And?" his mother prodded. "And I'm going to start painting again." Joyce pumped her fist by her side, like a pro basketball player after swishing a three-pointer. "Yes!" Will grinned crookedly. "Glad to have your support, Mom." Joyce pointed a finger at him. "Do you have some other good news to tell me, young man?" "First, you need to tell me where Angelina is." "She's renting a cottage on the lake with an option to buy." "You can't be serious." Will couldn't figure out why Angelina would have picked up, left California, and rented a house on Wishing Lake within a span of just a few days. "But she, Joyce said, stopping to clear her throat. "She doesn't exactly know that I was the person who leased it to her." At Will's confused look, she added, "Her friend Krista arranged all the details with me directly." Standing in his grandparents' summer home, where he had spent so many perfect summers as a kid, he was more excited and nervous about seeing Angelina than he had ever been about anything else in his whole life. He patted the box in his pocket and took a deep breath. "Everything is going to be just fine, honey," his mother said, adding, "Now get out of here. You've done enough worrying and thinking already. It's time to win over a very important woman." Taking off at a blazing clip down the beach, Will headed toward the Ferris wheel that was just barely poking up through the trees on the other side of the lake. He was sure he'd find her there, in the special place where his heart had always been. Winding past the food booths and the roller coaster, He caught sight of her silky hair blowing in the breeze as she handed her ticket to the man running the Ferris wheel. Increasing his pace to a run, he pushed past the teenagers in line and handed the man a 20. He barely had time to slide in next to Angelina before the gate for her seat shut.
Will?
She put a hand over her heart in surprise. What are you doing here?
Angelina, you're beautiful.
He brushed his hand over her cheek.
I'm sorry I let my work take me away from you, but that won't ever happen again. I'm officially unemployed.
What do you mean?
I stepped down from my company this morning.
Are you joking? Will made a lightning-quick move and managed to catch both of her cold hands between his warm ones.
I've never been more serious about anything in my whole life.
Angelina closed her eyes and shook her head. This can't be happening. Will felt as if a piece of him had just died.
I want to be with you. I thought you wanted to be with me, too.
I do. But once I tell you my secret, you're going to hate me forever. And then you won't even have a company to go back to, and then you're going to hate me even more. Tucking his hand gently under her chin, he lifted her face to his.
Nothing you say would ever make me hate you. I love you, Angelina. Don't you know that?
Whatever impact Will thought his words of love would have on Angelina, it wasn't the new explosion of tears that slipped down her cheeks and onto their hands. He had no idea what to say to her, sensing somehow that it would be wiser to wait for her to tell him about the horrible thing that was eating her up inside. She looked at him, her beautiful hazel eyes full of emotion. I'm pregnant.
Say that again?
He was unable to comprehend her words. I'm pregnant, and I know you don't want to have a baby, and I'm not asking you to act like a father, but I'm going to keep it and love it, and I hope you know I don't ever want any of your money.
We're going to have a baby,
Will whispered reverently, gazing at Angelina with sincere love in his eyes. You're not mad?
How could I be mad about the best news I've ever heard?
But Joyce said you had decided never to have... She began, only to be cut off by an earth-shattering kiss. Will captured Angelina's mouth in his and drank his fill of her. When they came up for air, he said,
I love you, Angelina, and I want to marry you and have lots and lots of babies together.
Angelina gaped at him, her mouth a tiny circle. But what about your father?
It's taken me nearly 30 years to put that pain to rest. But with your love, I think I'm most of the way there.
She was still staring at him as if she could hardly believe what she was hearing, and he said,
I'm not doing this right, am I?
Still on the ride, he couldn't get down on one knee, but he didn't care. He needed to ask her now.
Right now. Angelina, will you marry me?
Angelina was trying to catch her breath, which was impossible with everything spinning so fast. What are you going to do without your company?
You know, we could probably discuss this later, he said,
grinning at Angelina, falling more in love with her every second that passed.
But to answer your question, I'm going to paint.
Her eyes lit up for a moment, but then dimmed again. I'm thrilled that you're going to paint, but you can't give up something you're passionate about. I saw how reverently you held those circuit boards in your office.
You're right. I did have a dream to build a company, and it was great for a long time, but...
Angelina cut him off. I love you with all of my heart, Will. If you need me to be a corporate wife, I can do that. Please don't give up your dream for me. Will rubbed his thumb over her lips.
You're the reason I'm daring to dream again. I'd rather play around doing chip design on the side than sit in boardrooms making executive decisions. But most of all, I'd rather take all that faith you have in me and try to paint again. Now it's your turn to promise me something.
Anything, she whispered.
I know how hard you work, honey, and how good you are at what you do. But I want you to promise me you'll take care of yourself. That you'll let me take care of you. For our baby, but mostly for yourself. This time, Angelina gave Will a loving kiss.
As soon as I found out I was pregnant, I realized that I needed to do what I'd been telling my clients to do. I promise you, I'm going to figure out how to balance my work with the rest of my life. With you. With our baby.
Will stole one more kiss. Now that we've got all that figured out, I'd really like to hear your answer.
Angelina looked deep into Will's eyes. No matter how much she had tried to fight it, no matter how far she ran to escape it, she would love Will with all of her heart until the day she died. I love you, Will.
And? Will prompted her, his heart pounding wildly in his chest.
Yes, I would love to marry you. He finally remembered to pull the little box out of his pocket.
I almost forgot to give you this.
Angelina didn't want to leave his warm embrace, but the light blue box beckoned. Still safely ensconced in his arms, she took it from him and opened it up. Oh my God, Will, she said, staring open-mouthed at the incredible ring he had bought for her.
Do you like it?
He asked, hope ringing in his voice. She looked at him and laughed. It's absolutely beautiful. He slipped the 4-carat ruby, surrounded by 6 half-carat diamonds, arranged on a simple gold band, onto her left ring finger.
A jewel of fire for a woman whose fire outshines everything else.
Come here, my darling ex-tycoon, she whispered, as she pulled his head down toward hers, and you just might feel my flames licking at your skin. And with that, Will let his entire soul be consumed by the woman he loved. Epilogue. The media went into overdrive once word about Will's resignation became public. They couldn't get enough information about his new painting career and the whirlwind engagement. To top it off, the article about Angelina in Professional Woman magazine hit the stands, and the phones never stopped ringing. It was crazy for a few weeks, and Will and Angelina even considered following in her father's footsteps and eloping at City Hall. Instead, with advice from Rose at the Rose Chalet, they managed to pull off a beautiful romantic wedding surrounded by family and close friends. They were married on the beach, in front of his summer cottage in New York State. It was now their permanent home, and it would always symbolize the place where they first fell in love. Will's ex-wife, Susan, was overjoyed by their nuptials. And if anyone at the wedding was surprised by how well she got along with both the bride and groom, they didn't show it. Angelina's father walked his daughter down the aisle, and he had tears in his eyes as he placed her hand in Will's. He and his new wife, Louise, watched his daughter with pride, overjoyed that, like themselves, she had finally found true love. Joyce, standing beside them, was constantly wiping away tears throughout the ceremony and reception. She was so proud of her son, and she had so much to be happy about. And Krista did, indeed, look fabulous as the maid of honor. Whether it had to do with the gorgeous dress she wore, or the glow she had from standing beside the handsome best man, Derek, who was looking at her in very meaningful ways, it was hard to tell. This has been Sparks Fly, written by Lucy Kevin, narrated by Eva Kaminsky,
Copyright 2011 to 2013 by Oak Press, LLC. Production copyright 2014 by Oak Press, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.